of zombies can only eat people. Is it some kind of allergy or something?
I think it's more of an allegory, Neil.
That's what I said. Like, I'm allegoric to a whole bunch of stuff. But if all I could eat was people, that would get really annoying.
It's a big world, Neil. I bet there's lots of flavors of people.
Huh. I wonder what flavor of people I am.
Listening to Nowhere Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find
it. Come on, get up! Back up, I need it! I don't want to, but I will, you know I will! Come on!
Driving.
Run the red light!
Drive,
goddammit! That's all I got!
Put up your money away. Nobody's
driving
you, asshole.
Kill you. Shit. Just run all the lights. Drive.
You got it, boss.
Damn.
That cut deep?
How the hell would I know?
Just keep pressure on it.
Oh, damn.
Hey, Zeus, right? John McClane, I owe you one.
Damn right you owe me. You got any idea what those guys are doing to my shop right
Chill
now?
Chill out, hey, Zeus.
Chill out. What the fuck? Are you trying to relate to me? Talk like a white man.
Okay, Zeus, I'm sorry you got involved.
Why you keep calling me Jesus? I look Puerto Rican to you.
Guy back there called you Jesus.
He didn't say Jesus. He said, hey, Zeus. My name is Zeus.
Zeus?
Yeah, Zeus. As in father of Apollo, Mount Olympus. Don't fuck with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass. Zeus! You got a problem with that?
No.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. Downtown, Police Plaza.
Oh, that's just great.
Leather pants.
Yeah.
What's something like that, right?
$650.
$650.
Yeah.
They're pants.
Yeah.
You wear them.
Yes.
They don't have like a TV in them or something?
Nope.
I am very old.
Tension breaker had to be done.
Anybody else?
Yeah! Woohoo! Boom goes the dynamite! No tech problems this time, baby. Hey, everyone, it's time for Nora Mulberry. Got the PA system on, Steven. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Bad Aish. You like that clip there, Steven?
Yes.
I think you made that suggestion a long time ago of Summer School.
Summer School was on today.
Nice. You know what? I saw it was on actually the other night.
I was flipping through the titles and I saw it there. And I was like, hey, young Mark Harmon.
Yeah. It's a funny movie.
I was in love with that girl in it for a long time. That,
shit.
Johnny Smith, is it?
Sorry. I was trying to introduce myself. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Hey, everyone. I'm the J-Strum. Welcome to Mulberry. We've got this smooth operating machine going. We also have here Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. Hey, Steven. How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
Tension breaker had to be done.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm good.
Fantastical. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. What I mean by everyone is you, me, and Steven.
Yeah, there's absolutely no one in the chat room tonight. I guess just no one is around.
People don't care about us.
I'm just going to close the chat room.
Yeah, screw it. It's just
really not worth it.
It's a sad reminder of our listenership.
I'll just pretend we have thousands of listeners right now.
Oh, that's just great.
I'm just waiting to hear every word that pours from our pie holes.
Yes.
Speaking of, I had still no Swiley feedback.
I know.
Bastard.
I was like, maybe we shouldn't do a show. If we don't have Swiley feedback, we shouldn't do a show. Shouldn't that be the rule?
That should be.
That should be the rule.
It's all his fault.
I felt like we should just keep rolling. But I want to tell a little computer story about this week. Bill, you know a little bit of what happened, right?
Yeah.
One day this week, I couldn't access the internet. And, you know, the computer turns on, everything's normal, except I won't connect. And I do everything, you know, I unplug the router, Bill, I unplug
and
the...
And your screen popped up and said, Job says you're not allowed, I'm God here.
Yeah, Job, the phone rang, and I heard it next door and everything.
Pierce Brosnan came running in.
Yeah.
Pick that up!
But I was doing all the things you're supposed to do, unplugging, plugging back in, you know, what is this? So I call AT&T, and the first thing that I hear is this voicemail that's like, if you have McAfee, you may not be able to connect to the internet. Please manually download our new update or uninstall and reinstall your present software. I'm like, what?
Please remove McAfee, a massive brick of shit in your computer.
Right.
I am God here.
Oh, my God. It is Job.
That's McAfee.
It is Job. Oh, my God. So, anyway, I deal with AT&T, and they're like, I swear to God, it was Marge from freaking Fargo. She was like, oh, what seems to be the problem there?
Don't you know?
What's the problem there today? And I'm like, well, I can't connect to the internet. Oh, what a shame. How can I help you?
These are biting. Oh, yeah.
Let's see if maybe we can't help you out, okay? You think you might remember those fellas who called you? Have you seen my tan Sierra? So she's like, well, everything looks okay on our end. And I was like, I heard that little voicemail about McAfee. Could that, oh dear, you had the McAfee.
I was like, McAfee. Yeah.
She was like, can you tell me what version you have there? And I'm like, well, I don't know. She goes, go click on start button and then you'll find the McAfee in the list of apps. Then you right click and you click on properties. And I swear it's Frances McDormand from Fargo. That's the thing I'm thinking the entire time. She's like, well, I'm not sure if that's compatible there, if that's the one that they're having a problem with. So here's what I do. You need to call your manufacturer. Where did you get your computer from? And I'm like, well, it's a Dell. Well, here, you call some Dell, and I'll even get you the number. And she's like, gets me the number. So I call Dell, and then I talk to a couple different people. So finally, you know, they transfer me over to a guy, and it's almost like he knows exactly what the problem is, and he just deals with it. He's like, yeah, just give me, open this program here, and I get access to your computer. What we're going to do is we're going to uninstall McAfee, and then we're going to give you two free years of Norton antivirus, and then we're going to go and clean up a lot of things. It'll take about 3 hours or so.
Norton's not much better, but it is a little better. At least McAfee's not on there.
But I was like, so did McAfee, did some kind of problem cause this? And he goes, oh, well, I wouldn't say that. And I was like,
oh, well, don't you know it did?
I was like, no, this guy, he's an Indian guy.
Oh, so he's in the middle of New Delhi.
So here's what I think. Some kind of flaw in McAfee, some kind of update jacked a lot of people, but they can't tell you that. right? They can just say, oh, no, 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 we're just going to replace it with a completely different company software and take care of it. But it has nothing to do with McAfee. They're no way liable for anything that went wrong with your computer. So what do you think? Was it McAfee's fault?
He's garbage, yeah.
Yeah. But I was just glad it was up and running by later that night, and I just clicked on the internet. I was like, oh, yeah, jacked back in. And I have my stupid smartphone. I was like, it's not good enough. It's too tiny, and it's a laggy piece of shit Android phone.
Even 4G is too slow.
Right, and the Facebook app on Android sucks ass. By the way.
I end up just using the mobile, like using the browser to go to it.
Right, it is better. Using the browser for Facebook is way better than the app. Yeah. Now, do you guys? It was kind of weird. You know, should we talk about Tony Scott for a second? That was that Sunday night we found that out.
You had messaged me, and I was like, "Really? I'm only seeing it on one site, and it hasn't taken off yet." And then, like 5 minutes later, it's all over the place.
Yeah, Heather saw it on Twitter, and she goes, "Is this bullshit? I read that Tony Scott committed suicide," and I was like, "What bullshit?" And I go and look on Google, and there's one story. I'm like, "Well, I am seeing one story," and then like 5 minutes, refresh three stories, refresh five stories, and I was like, "Shit." It's spreading. I think it's true. And I was like, damn, the first thing you think when somebody commits suicide is like, oh my God, what caused this? Did they have depression? Were they suffering from some type of illness where they decided to end it all? You don't know, but you this morbid curiosity, you know, you just kind of want to know.
Sure.
And then you start thinking about their body of work. And, you know, I thought about a couple of Tony Scott movies that I absolutely love. And that's The Last Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. And I love True Romance also. Those are movies
I was never a big fan of True Romance. I like The Last Boy Scout and I like Crimson Tide. That's about it.
Right. I like Crimson Tide too. But it's like True Romance and Last Boy Scout are ones that I've seen a million times whenever they're on cable or whatever. You sit and watch them. And
I've seen Beverly Hills Cop 2 a million times. That movie is like such a product of the 90s that when you watch it, you actually flash back in time and start wearing neon.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually seen that movie as many times. I've seen like Kevin Costner's Revenge a lot of times.
No.
It's a beautifully shot film.
I've watched Days of Thunder way too many times.
Days of Thunder? Hell yeah.
It's a good flick. It's
that part where him and Michael Rooker are racing, you know, they're crashing the cars up. That's the best part. But also, The Hunger, I've seen that movie plenty of times. Laura, she loved it because it had the Bela Lugosi's dead at the beginning of the movie. That has a great opening, the beginning of that movie. It's very stylish, and, you know, there's a lot of incense burning in the rooms, you know.
I think where I started having a problem with him was like mid-90s, like The Fan, and then Enemy of the State, and Spy Game, and I thought Man on Fire was really kind of lacking. And I know there's people that love him, but
we're not
going
to talk about that today, though. We've already talked about things we didn't like, Tony Scott. Now we're going to talk about the things we love. He's no longer with us, and it's very sad.
Yeah, I love that he's no longer with us.
Bill, why would you say something like that?
No, it's just the way you phrased that. Let's talk about the things we love, that he's no longer with us. Like, what?
He won't be directing any more movies, Bill.
Well, as long as I don't have to sit through, like, Deja Vu or Unstoppable, I'm
Unstoppable.
Happy. God, that movie was terrible.
His movies, I haven't seen those. I'm trying to think of the last movie I saw, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, the
Domino,
last movie I saw was, what was that, Deja Vu?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't
you talked about that before?
I have. I think that's... I'm not even sure. I think it's the one with Val Kilmer and Jim Caviezel. Yeah, it is. It is. It's not particularly good.
Let me ask you this. Is The Last Boy Scout on Blu-ray yet?
Yeah.
It is?
That's
a
double pack. It's blue. It's Last Boy Scout and Last Man Standing.
Oh, cool.
It's a pretty good pack.
Nice. Is it a decent transfer? Because I'd like to pick that up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Better than the DVD, that's for sure.
Yes.
Dude, I pulled the clip for the intro from the DVD, It is so shitty.
It's really like grainy and just ugly.
The grainiest shitty transfer you've ever seen.
Yeah, it's one of the it was one of the earliest ones.
Head or gut? Head or gut? What would you take? Head or gut? Gut.
Gut.
$650.
Yeah, for some leather pants. So that was sad. I don't know why he did it, but hey, it's none of my business, right?
Well, apparently he left two suicide notes, one in the car indicating who to call and one in the office.
Did I have like a TV in him or something?
There's videos of it, too. I don't think anybody's put it on YouTube, but they said, you know, he didn't hesitate. He got on the bridge, got out of his car, climbed over and jumped.
What do they call those, the cameras just displaying the... baby's going crazy. What are you doing? Oh, she's got a cup in the kitchen. Great. She knows we're doing a show. I don't know how she knows, but she knows.
I'm sitting here with Marvin, and he sounds like Steven used to sound like. He's got a breathing problem. He's had for a number of years now. He's got like some esophageal thing. Danes get it. He's half Dane, half Lab. So he sounds like Darth Vader.
Nice.
His head is at the bottom of the bed, and that's the opposite direction from where I am.
Yeah, she was perfectly calm about 20 minutes ago, and as soon as we started talking, she starts running around, going crazy, biting my hand.
That's the energy in the room.
Just watch that wire, Steven. Watch your wire. I'm so paranoid about that.
Baby's very broken up about 20 minutes.
She's like, I hate podcasting. I will destroy the show. what else happened this week, guys? How's it going with you, Bill? You saw a lot of movies, but I guess we'll talk about that soon in entertainment. What am I doing?
Yeah, I saw a couple movies. It was a busy week, and I just wanted to take a break for myself.
Take a break from yourself. I hear that. We saw a movie, too. I want to see The Expendables 2 and get 2 is really annoying, but we'll get to see it.
I was shocked at how much I liked it. I was just grinning ear to ear the entire movie.
Oh, that's just great.
Yeah, it is great. What do you guys say we check out our one voicemail this week, huh?
Yes.
Excellent.
One voicemail from Mike. Let's check it out.
Hey, Nora Mulberry. This is Mike from Ireland, ringing with a hopefully shorter voicemail this week, and less gloomy sounding than the previous effort. I believe that the redacted Kylie tapes have been placed into an armoured car, or a series of three armoured cars, and have been driven around the streets of Mulberry right now. For some future point when they, in 5 months' time, they can be revealed and cause all sorts of... Well, nobody cares about a backlash. Anyway, never mind. That makes no sense. Hey, guys. Really love the last show. It was really, really funny. Great to hear the shows like Hotel Hell and the Collector thing actually appearing, which are real kind of Mulberry type of shows. The Zingbot was funny, but painfully excruciating. As I pointed out on Facebook, that second zing when it goes zing, it's, oh God almighty. But yeah, really, really, really good stuff. I'm going to miss Mulberry. It's so fantastic to have it back. At which point, Jason is probably announcing on Facebook right now that they're not doing a show tonight. That'd be gas. But
almost.
Gas. Yeah, it would. Guess it'd be gas altogether. As we say here. But yeah, as I said, I'm going to keep this one relatively short. You did say that the other mails were like 20 minutes long. They were not. They were 10 minutes long, goddammit. I fully respect your decision not to use them. Let's put it like that. You could just burn them or delete them like I did. But yeah, I can't wait for another show. The intro last week deserves absolute special mention. I love the intros. I don't think I've ever told Jason this. I love the intros. Love them. I frequently just go back and listen to intros of Mulberry one after another.
Thank you, sir.
Last week's one was absolutely fantastic. Love that the Expendables tune is fantastic. It stuck in my head for ages. I actually don't know what that clip was at the start with the kid that kept coming up during the thing, trying to trying, failing to get the message out. Tears laughing. So keep it up, guys. Really, really funny. Really, really good. Yeah, I have nothing more entertaining to say. I still sound kind of out of breath. The reason for that is I'm overweight and I have a kind of a chest thing. So I'm going out for a run in the delightful, soft Irish rain. That's why I sound out of breath, because I'm unhealthy, basically. So I'm going to go and do a sleep study or something, maybe, if they exist in Ireland, which I don't think they do. Anyway, that's boring. I'll stop talking. I leave entertaining voicemails, as I've often pointed out, from Adam and Rick take over, where they actually have things to talk about. And I'll just leave you one comment, quick one. I just saw today the Avengers DVD that's coming out in Ireland and the UK. Absolutely weird. No, depending on where you buy it, you get different features. That's the Blu-ray as well. So, like, if you buy it from one store,
what kind of shit is that?
You get a version that actually has a commentary track, which, you know, good. But then it doesn't have one of the special features, the very long special feature that's supposed to come with it. And if you buy it from somewhere else, you get that, but you don't get the commentary track. Yeah, and they wonder why piracy on the internet is popular. Unbelievable crap. But anyway, I don't know who it is that's behind the Avenger. I presume it's Marvel. Duh. Yeah, anyway, never mind. Guys, have a great show, and I'll talk to you soon. That sounded odd, but I will anyway. Now I'm going to fail to turn the bloody voicemail off, but hey, bye.
Bye, Mike.
Okay, two things. Really fast, really brief. One is, I think at this stage, it's about time that you guys got Terry, Jason's dad, to write a theme tune for the I Hate Harry Knowles segment on the show. For some reason, I could listen to it forever. It's just endlessly entertaining because the guy has endless amounts of pomposity that deserves to be pricked every week, basically. Appropriately enough. Anyway, yeah. It needs a theme tune, I think. Second thing, loads of people have been asking me that, you know, have you seen Ted? No, I haven't seen Ted. I can't quite explain this one, but I just don't like, what's his name? The dude behind it. His name has even left my brain now. All
yeah, get in line.
You know, the guy behind Family Guy and The Cleveland Show and American Dad, which nobody likes, which is really weird. Everyone, large amount of people like Family Guy, but nobody seems to like American Dad. Same guy behind us, same guy doing the bloody voices, you know, strange. But anyway, yeah, I just thought there's something extremely sort of, I don't know what it is about the guy. He's obviously a talented kind of voice actor and stuff, but he's just not particularly funny, really. He just goes for lowest common denominator every time. And reference humor, Jesus. Apparently in Ted he even references Family Guy.
Jesus but Christ.
Yeah, two things.
He references himself.
Harry Knowles and dude, Guy Incognito. I can't remember his name. But why are these people famous? Anyway, that's the end of that. Bye, mate.
Well, bye, Mike.
Have you ever had a dream that you had you want him to do you so much you could do anything?
Mike had that dream.
Yep, he sure did. Where did that kid come from, Bill? Do you know?
I honestly have no idea. It's I would have to look it on Know Your Meme to see what it is.
I wonder if it's like a
boy
commercial.
Fumbling over. Okay, origin. The original clip was a blooper from the 1999 Turner Classic Movie television special Good Night Moon and Other Sleepy Time Tales. Though the special was mostly animated, several children were interviewed as well. The video clip was uploaded in January of 2011. Have you ever had a dream like this? Appears at the very end.
Nice. Okay, well, now we know. Cool.
Yep.
What's that website again? Know Your Meme?
Yeah, knowyourmeme.com.
Dude, I need to look at that. How do you know?
You can. It's so funny. I can spend hours on there looking at the origins of crazy shit.
Like, that's what I was going to ask. How do you know what you're looking at is a meme?
If it's like an internet viral, anything,
like you've just seen it everywhere.
Yeah, if it's taken on a life of its own, it's a meme.
Like something like Leroy Jenkins, that's a meme. Big.
Oh God, yeah. Now because you take what you do normally, a meme is something that has come from something else. Right. You know, like you, the Leroy Jenkins thing took on a life of its own, and people would use it in its own different ways. You know, and that's normally when a meme is created.
Nice.
You know, it's an internet phenomena.
Cool. Like, who's seen the leprechaun?
Exactly.
Chocolate, yes. Rain.
Hide your wives, hide your husbands.
Oh, yes. Antoine. Shit, what is that guy's name? I love him. Yeah! You better hide everybody because they're raping everybody in here.
Right.
Yeah, he's great.
It's funny how some you see and you're like, nah, I'm going to ignore that one. Or you're like, I'm going to embrace that one.
I think my favorite one right now is dog shaming, where they get a picture of a dog and it has like a note next to the dog that says like, I eat my own poop,
uh-huh.
Or I eat my own barf, or I ate $20. I've ruined several pairs of underwear, and I eat more cat turds than I do my own poop or my own food.
That's a little strange.
It's a really funny one of a wiener dog next to a cat, and says, "I like to hump this cat." It's just really funny how pathetic some of the dogs look.
Well, guys, what do you say we get into entertainment? Let's do it. Entertainment. Ah, yes, entertainment. Since all three of us saw Paranorman, we should talk about that first, Bill.
Sure.
Yes.
First of all, awesome stop-motion animation, isn't it? Wasn't it like...
gorgeous.
It was it was absolutely gorgeous. And
the 3D was really understated. It wasn't like over-the-top flying out at you. It was more in the idea of like Avatar, where it creates a world and then brings you into it.
Yeah, it was like this depth. I love how you could like see down the street, you know?
Yeah.
That was awesome, or the way Norman's room looked. But when the movie first starts and it looks like this old 80s horror movie, like in Pillar Box, you know.
That was funny. And the sound is kind of drowned out by static
sounding.
I knew. I was like, I'm so going to love this movie.
The feature presentation.
Yeah, I loved all that. I love how the zombie hands come out first, and then like the feet come out of the door, you know, it's like to grab the girl, and then the feet come out to you, and then the head,
and the screaming, like she just keeps screaming, and then the zombie's moving so slow that she has to take a breath and start screaming again,
and then you see the boom mic get closer to
it, pushes it out of the way. Yeah, that was great.
I love that. It's such a fun movie, and it's dark and stuff, but it's perfect kind of dark, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect Dark.
Dark.
That'd be a good video game name, wouldn't it?
Maybe for like an older console, like a Nintendo 64 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Something retro.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to the movie. I loved all of it. I loved how, I don't, you know, when a spoil, I know a lot of people probably saw Expendables 2 or something, and they'll get around to it. But I definitely think you should seek out Paranorman.
It's Paranorman deserved much more box office take than it got. I think a lot of it's kind of tone scared off families.
Yeah, I'm thinking Halloween would have been a great time to release it, wouldn't
it? Yeah, it was released at the wrong time.
Yeah, in August. I don't know why.
Yeah, and I think it was strange, the audience that I saw it with. Like, there were a lot of, like, really, really young kids that were way too young for it that were asking questions. Like, whenever his uncle croaks.
Yeah.
And they, like, didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
Uh-huh.
And, like, there was, like, really uncomfortable laughs from kids whenever he was fighting with the body to get the book.
That scene was great. And I love when the tongue falls on his face.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh. He's wrestling with a dead body, you know? I kept thinking, because Emma didn't want to see it. She was a little too scared. She wasn't sure if she would have made it through it. And I think she would have, but I do think parts would have scared her, though.
Definitely. Definitely. There's some extremely dark stuff going on.
The scariest thing being the witch face in the sky whenever they show
that
mean
face. But also dealing with the whole idea of death in a new way and, like, not the way Marvin, stop kicking me. The way Norman deals with death and how normal it is to him. I think maybe that's a little disturbing for a younger kid.
Right. And what the movie is about is, you know, Norman is bullied, and it has to do with fear in a lot of ways. Fear of people being different, fear of, like, his dad, fear that he's not normal.
Yeah, mob mentality, like when multiple people are scared, the way they want to...
The way they react.
Destroy things.
Yeah.
Instead of really understand them.
There's some great moments with the zombies, too, and...
I love those zombies.
Yeah. That moment with the vending machine is probably one of the funniest things I've seen in any movie in a long time, you know?
It's not the zombie movie it's kind of made out to believe on the commercials for it.
Mm-hmm.
The commercials, it plays up the kind of horror Tim Burton-y aspects, but right. It's not at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised in what it turned into. You know what I mean? And it's a funny movie, and it's got
a massive amount of heart.
And a lot of heart. It's got a soul, that movie. You know?
Yeah, because I got really teary eyed at the end. There was this really poignant, beautiful scene with Marvin identifying with
or Norman.
Norman. Did I say Marvin again? Yeah. This damn dog. You've got me saying Marvin all the time. But Norman is trying to identify with the I don't want to spoil villain. Anything.
Yeah, the witch.
The witch. Yeah, it just. It's really good. It's so good. I can't recommend it enough. When I was trying to get my sister to take my niece to go see it, because I thought she would be old enough. But I just think the message in it is wonderful, especially for a young kid going to their own beat, you know, not right. necessarily normal. Being normal is underrated or overrated, by the way.
Right.
But it just—it's a great movie. It really struck my heartstrings.
Is this some kind of allergy or something?
And his little friend was awesome.
Yeah, I loved his friend. He was so cool.
I want to be alone. Me too. Let's be alone together.
I love the moments when the cast is together, like when it's his friend and his sister and the brother. And they're all in the car together. But then later on, when it's Norman's family and the zombie, you know,
that was cracking me up.
Well, even when
Son, can you tell him to move over?
When the little kid can't see the ghost, and he's still playing fetch with his dead dog.
Yeah, that was cool. And then he's like trying to kiss him, and he's like, "That's not his face." But you know, they give it away on the trailer, but it's still funny. I love when his phone rings and it's the Halloween theme. And it says, or it's a text, and it says, "Come to the window," and he's standing there with a hockey mask. That's so great.
That made me crack up.
And then he's like, and he looks away. Then he looks back, and he's like, "Hey, you want to play hockey?"
Yeah, it was just like, these are my people, you know, that made this film.
Yeah, it's great. I bet you there's more references in it than I caught originally. Oh. I want to go back and see all those. Yeah, the way that stop motion animation is just awesome.
I was really disappointed because this week, whenever I went to see Singing in the Rain on Wednesday, I noticed that they'd already moved Paranorman to, like, the far end dinky theater.
Ugh.
Like, all the way at the end of the hall. So I don't think it's bringing in a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it was like the commercial will go, the number one kids film of the week. Yeah, you know?
The number one animated film of the week. Like, oh, wait, you're the only animated film this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bill, you saw Expendables 2. It's a lot of fun.
I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I really did not like the first one. I didn't like it at all. I thought it took itself way too seriously. Mm-hmm. The whole, like, country being taken over and all that.
You know,
it just was
one thing that Sylvester Stallone loves is when there's like this message, you know, like Rambo, you know, if you're not living, if you're not going to fight, or, you know, I can't even think of what is the
There's
term?
There's one of those moments in The Expendables too, and it's so funny because yeah. it's with an Asian girl, and it just, it reeks of Rambo First Blood.
Right, where he's like, if they're, what does he say? Damn it, it's this
Talk
line.
About being expendable.
He's like,
still war here.
No, not about war here. But I mean the Rambo, the newest one, the latest one. He's talking about if you're not living, then get busy. No, it's not the line from.
No, it's not Shawshank.
It's not Shawshank. Ah, forget it. I can't remember.
It was
even
Brooks
Rocky.
Was here. That's the line.
What is it?
Brooks was here.
Brooks is here. But even like Rocky, you know, Rocky Balboa, he has a line he says to his son about your life, you know. If it's not worth fighting for, then what's the point of living? Stuff like that. So he loves those kind of moments in his movies. So I was wondering, like, a Simon West directed Expendables 2, if they would kind of like leave that out. But he wrote the script anyway.
It's a one very, very tiny moment, maybe 2 minutes out of the entire runtime, and it's a downtime moment. It's kind of like they're in a town and they're in an abandoned building and they're all kind of doing their thing and it's kind of goofy. It's almost like a Walton's moment, like Goodnight, John Boy kind of thing, you know? Uh-huh. And it's just this one little moment that
I'm expendable.
It works really well too, but they're, oh my God, the jokes they had for Dolph Lundgren nearly had me in tears. Like they play him off like a gigantic oaf. Like, there's one moment where he's snoring really loud while they're all trying to prepare in the morning, and they wake him up, and he goes, "You rang." And I just lost it.
I've always loved Dolph Lundgren.
It's so lighthearted, and it doesn't take itself seriously at all. Like, when Chuck Norris shows up, they're like, "Oh, hey, it's Booker. I thought you worked alone, a real lone wolf."
Oh, yeah, lone
wolf. And I just started cracking up.
That's funny.
Just waiting for his like name to be like Booker McQuaid or something. You know, just
now. Let me ask you this. This is my one concern about the movie. That because Simon West directed it and not Sylvester Stallone, that it would be less graphically violent.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. No, it's just as graphically violent, if not more. I think the body count is higher in this one.
Nice.
Moment where one guy pops up and they're all standing in a line. They all whip out their guns and start shooting him. This guy must get like 150 bullets in him, and he's just pulled the pizza.
Nice, dude. I want to see that.
Storm goes, "Rest in pieces."
Would Verhoeven have loved that scene?
Yeah, it was like the Ed 209 going off on the guy in the room. It was so beautiful. I mean,
go in pieces, asshole.
Give that line to Lundgren, but it was still good.
Yeah,
there are so many references to 80s action movies, the lines, the dialogue,
this weekend.
The camaraderie is there. It's so nice. Good that they, and it's not those really painful, long drawn out moments like from the first one with the cauliflower ear or Mickey Rourke giving his heartfelt bullshit.
Well, let me ask you this. How was Arnold?
But it's so much more fun.
How was Arnold?
Arnold was fantastic. Oh, my God. There is a moment between him and Bruce Willis that had me laughing so hard. Like, there's at least three times in the movie where Arnold shows up and says, "I'll be back." And at one point, him and Bruce Willis are taking cover, and Arnold says, he's going to go do something. He goes, "I'll be back." And Bruce Willis goes, no, you won't be back. I'll be back. You know, you've been back too many times. And then Bruce Willis takes off, and then Arnold gets up and goes, "Yippee-ki-yay."
Aw, why'd you tell me that?
It's just, oh, I'm sorry.
Greenberries for breakfast.
And right now, I'm very hungry.
Don't spoil it, come on!
Yes.
The moment you see it, it works so freaking well.
Oh, I can't
and the,
wait to
the
see
fun
it.
They're having. And it's just, it's irresistible. It's so much fun.
Awesome. All right. I can't wait to see this. Nice.
Sorry that I spoiled that for you, but it's just.
Oh, it's all right.
It's so much fun. It doesn't, and I think that's what I loved about it, is it just, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. There's so many one-liners, so many references. Jean-Claude Van Damme just chews the scenery.
Oh,
he is the ultimate bad guy. He is so freaking evil. He's like one of those bad guys that just, like, you look in his eyes and it's soulless. He's just pure evil incarnate.
I'm excited to see him in a movie again.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted this movie to be an hour longer. It was too short.
Lionheart.
I wanted him to have so much more to do, but the movie's very tight, moves very fast. It's a fun ride, but I wanted it to be about an hour longer just for them to just flex their muscles.
I got to talk Heather into going to see this.
Oh, she'll get a kick out of it.
Because we also want to see the new Dax Shepard movie.
And it's fun, too. It's not great, but it's...
Did you get to see it today?
I did get to see it, and it's a lot of fun. It's,
hit and run.
Yeah, he said on Howard Stern's show that he wanted to do a movie in the vein of Smokey and the Bandit, where all those friends got together, shot a movie on the fly, and just had fun with it. And that's really what it is. They made a movie for $2 million. They lied on the insurance so that they could get the movie insured. Shepard used all his own cars in the stunts. He did all his own stunts.
Max Shepard did?
It's like the epitome of guerrilla filmmaking.
Damn!
Cool.
You can see the fun in it. They're having a great time, and it's...
And it's funny?
Yeah, it's funny. There's moments where they try to be a little too gross out, like kind of the Hangover kind of gross out.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't really work, but I know what they're trying to do, but it's a fun movie. Don't write it off. Especially if you like car movies with really cool driving.
Like the original Gone in 60 Seconds, that guy, he would really wreck the cars. I forget that guy.
Yeah. Dax Shepard, these were his cars, so he was very worried. Even though he did all the stunts, he was still scared shitless that he was going to total a car.
Nice, that's cool. Sweet. And what else did you see?
I saw Singing in the Rain on Wednesday on the big screen, which is really the only way to experience that movie. I watched it again last night. It was on Turner Classic Movies because it was Gene Kelly's 100th birthday. So they had his movies on all day, and then at night it was An American in Paris and Singing in the Rain. And it just watching Singing in the Rain on the small screen after seeing it on this huge screen, it was like, man, I want to see it on the big screen again. Just such a great, funny, vibrant, wonderful movie.
That's sweet. Awesome.
Yep. And I was going to go see Premium Rush today, but I just didn't want to. It was like too much. I was having movie overload.
Oh, yeah. That's a Joseph Gordon-Levitt bicycle movie.
Yeah, I think directed by David Cope.
Recently on one of those channels, it was either HDNet Movies or the Sony channel, they showed Quicksilver. It was one of those mornings where baby woke me up like at 3 a.m. So I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for her to fall asleep next to me and then I'll put her in her crate. But Quicksilver was on and I like started watching it in the middle of the night. And I'm like, I kept thinking, how did this movie get made? It's about a guy on a 10 speed, you know?
A bike messenger.
That's basically what... Yeah, that's what Premium Rush is.
When I saw the trailer to it, I was like, Quicksilver 2, or it's a remake.
I've said the same thing to my brother.
Yeah, he's a bike messenger who gets a package that apparently Michael Shannon, who's a corrupt cop, wants what's in the bag, and he chases him around town and on his bike. So that's pretty much it.
Hey, if it's good, I'll check it out.
There was a funny review that somebody put on, like, this guy's got so much balls that he doesn't have brakes on his bike.
Nice.
He doesn't need them.
Nope.
They slow him down.
I wonder what's
That's
in
what
the package.
Kevin Bacon had the same thing. No brakes on his.
This is what I'm wondering. The package, is it going to be like Pulp Fiction? You never know what's in it.
I, you know, like, but I wouldn't put it past him.
I bet you I know what it is.
$650.
That's it.
It.
You find out at the end, $650. This is what all this was about.
I was just looking to see if anybody had compared the two films. And it's like right there on Spinoff Online, somebody was like, I got so tired of suffering grumbled comparisons between Premium Rush and Quicksilver that they ended up watching Quicksilver.
Hey, you know what? When I saw that movie, I got to be honest. I was like, dude, I want a 10 speed. But, you know, it's like, what year did that come out? I was a teenager, but 86? I wanted a 10 speed after I saw it.
Oh, this is great. Premium Rush, if you're still seeking a parallel, is basically Citizen Kane in comparison.
Nice.
So it's better.
Dude, it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I just don't know what he was... Like, this movie's got to be great if Jogo makes it a bike messenger movies.
That Michael Shannon guy, he's a good, scary actor. I'm really curious.
He is.
He's going to be General Zod in the new Superman. That ought to be interesting.
Fantastic in a film called Taking Shelter.
Oh, yeah, I want to see
Shelter.
That.
Oh, my God, that movie's good. Yeah, it's probably one of the best movies from last year, if not the best.
Sweet. All right, what do you guys say we get into what's on our TiVo?
Yes.
Let's do it.
No. You guys don't want to, do you? Come on, what's on a TiVo?
What's on the TiVo?
Ah, yes. What's on our TiVosity? Our DVRs.
Oh, there's one person and a viewer in the chat room.
Woohoo! Yeah! Yes. Oh, wait, there's a viewer, and Steve Stein is in there.
Oh.
Hey, what's up, Steve? You know, a lot of people are like, yeah, I listen to Norm Mulberry. Those guys, they get so much feedback, and people, no, we don't. Not enough. Tune in right now, check us out, and then later, give us some feedback in the forum.
Well, it's Friday night. We're the only losers doing a podcast on Friday night.
Don't put me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Oh, holy crap. No, I remember back on Now Live, Bill, we would see other people doing it too, like...
Oh, God, yeah.
I was listening to an old episode, and we were joking about... There was a show called Jerk Off Radio.
Oh, Jesus.
And we were talking about, man, that's like the best name for a show ever. It's Jerk Off Radio. What do you want? All right, we've got some shows to talk about. The first one, I wanted to include this because a guy I really can't stand on Big Brother was evicted, Bill. Mike Boogie.
Mike Boogie?
And I hate that guy so much. I've always just hated him.
He's an asshole. I mean, I even saw that he knew he was going to get evicted, so he was insulting everyone in the house. Like, you haven't done anything with your life and all that stuff.
He did this... I have this clip here where he thinks Dan is responsible for all this. So him and Frank get on either side of Dan, and Dan's not having any of it. He's just sitting there. The only book you can read in the house is the Bible.
Yeah.
And so he's sitting there just reading the Bible, and Mike just comes up and just starts talking to Dan like, oh, man, you're a clever guy, aren't you? Huh, Dan? Dan, you gonna ignore me? And it's pretty funny. But then... what's funny is Ian is really the guy who came up with the idea, I guess. And I guess it wasn't hard to sell.
I can believe that. Ian seems to be a little conniver.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and check this out. And it's awesome just seeing Boogie get taken out. And you know what's funny? One thing that Mike Boogie and Will did when they're Chilltown, they'd always do the both of them in the diary room. And they do the phone thing. Remember that?
Yeah.
God, it was so annoying. They do the phone
chill
thing.
Town bullshit.
Yeah, and it's funny, Brittany, you know when they do the thing where, here are some people I had some things to say to you. She goes, bring, and she has a stupid phone thing.
Oh, my God.
And I thought it was pretty funny because when he comes out, everyone's kind of laughing, and I don't think he has fans. You know?
No, he doesn't. No one likes him.
He's a douche nozzle. All right, let's check this out.
Shane, I'm very curious. Why did you have to give us the runaround if you were just going to make that decision?
I wasn't. I was taking every option into consideration, Boogie.
It's like you like jerking it around.
No, absolutely not. That's definitely not what I was trying to do, Boogie.
We feel like yo-yos right now.
No. If that's how you feel, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to come across as it did.
Stuff your sorries in the sack, man.
You're just looking like Dan's bitch right now. You're just Dan's bitch, and he's laughing at you in there.
That's fun. It's no worries.
Is Boogie yelling at Brennan?
He's yelling at Shane.
That's not right. Because if Shane doesn't do what they want, then he's a bitch.
They're like terrorizing the house.
Where's Dan?
I can't wait to watch you get done wrong, dude.
I'm not worried.
Oh, you should be. You should be very worried because you're
sitting on the sidelines with that key dangling around your neck while other people play for HOH. And you're in a lot of trouble, son.
Is that a threat, Boogie?
You better hope your boss wins HOH. Dan likes to play silent, but the guy's really just Satan. He likes to pretend he's the Catholic schoolboy, and he's not.
Frank, we got to give it up to this guy.
He's, I know, right?
He's good.
I told you,
yeah,
though.
I know, you did. Dan, are you going to ignore me all week? It'd be much more fun if we could just have some laughs about this whole mess.
I'm not trying to ignore you.
I tip my cap.
So I'm sitting here taking all this heat from Mike Boogie, and everyone knows I'm never going to crack under pressure. Bullying doesn't work on me. But the interesting thing is that Ian's sitting there watching this all happen. I just hope he realizes how much heat I'm taking for him and understands what I'm doing for the kid.
I'm trying to think down the road for these guys. It'd be great if they're in the final three with you and Danielle, because you'll definitely throw that last HOH so you don't have to slash Danielle's throat on national TV. Am I right, Dan?
I never even thought that far down the road.
Oh, I bet you have thought every inch of the road, Dan. The only thing I will ask of Dan is just don't
He's
do
such
wrong
a sore
by
loser,
Ian.
Isn't he? Boogie.
Frank's a big boy. He's going to go to battle, but I just hope Dan doesn't do you wrong. Just watch out, Ian. He's a beast.
Dan has taken the heat from Boogie all week. Will he pay him back tonight? Hi, Dan.
Hey, Julie.
Please cast your vote to evict.
For Janelle, I vote to evict Mike.
Thank you. By a vote of 5-2, Boogie, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Ian is not to be trusted.
I know that already now.
Just put that in the storage room. Ian, what happened, dog? Not cool, buddy. Not cool.
You whisper to Frank,
not cool.
Ian is not to be trusted, right before you exited. What did Ian whisper to you in your ear?
He said you're going to see some things that you don't like. Apparently, I didn't get his vote. And he referenced something I said to an evicted house guest during All Stars, which was get to step in. And he said it with a bit of conviction in his voice, as if he might be playing for the other side.
What is going
the
through your
side,
mind right
oh my
now?
God!
Cool. You know, I'm really shocked. I thought I had enough people against me, but apparently I may have another one. I mean, obviously, when you come out to these live evictions, you haven't seen anything. You don't know what's going on behind your back. No one's to be trusted. I love the kid. I looked out for him every step of the way. If he did me wrong, it's just going to reflect on him. I'm not ashamed of anything I did.
In the event you were the one voted out tonight, your housemates taped some goodbye messages. Let's listen.
Uh-oh.
Ring, ring. What is this telephone doing in the DR? Hello? Oh, hey, Janelle. No, my Boogie's actually not here, but I was just leaving a message for him. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Since the reset, I've been in an alliance called the Quack Pack with Dan, Danielle, Brittany, and Shane. I'm the one that told Brittany and Shane you were coming after them. This week, I masterminded your demise. I learned from one of the best, and that is why you're sitting with me right now.
I love that he's totally like, holy shit. He had no idea.
I still love him. I'm proud of him. He did learn from the best.
Yeah, dipshit.
Such an asshole. Go back to Geisha House, douchebag.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, did you guys watch Collection Intervention?
Yes.
I did.
Nice.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm into
even
it.
Even with the selective editing. Like, oh, this is it. I can't take it anymore. Yeah. Go to break. You know?
They do. Coming up. You know, it's going to commercial, he's like, God, I can't take this anymore.
Everything and then back in.
Then it's just basically him bitching, and he's fine.
Yeah.
bitching the whole. It's kind of like how I do things. Like when my wife makes me do stuff, I do it, but I bitch the entire time. I'm God damn it! I can't believe I have to do this. Ugh. So I want to focus on the guy with the G.I. Joes and Hot Wheels.
Okay.
Yeah. 60,000 Hot Wheels.
Yeah.
Wow. And the
G.I.
Joes.
Funny is when I was a kid, my cousin and I would collect them. My cousin had a ton of them, but. The other reason we collected them is because we would crash them into one another on my grandma's kitchen floor.
Yeah, didn't take care of them at all.
No,
yeah.
We called it Crash Up Derby, and we would each go to the other end of the floor and just, like, zing them at one another to see if we could hit and then see how high the other car would go.
Yeah, we would stick firecrackers on them and roll them.
Maybe that's why they're so rare.
Yeah, I think that is it.
Because kids destroyed them. Because I remember smashing them. But when they were talking about the ones with doors open and stuff, it's like, I had some like that where the trunk opened and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
sure, yeah.
The hood. I was like, I wonder if that would be worth a head.
I still have the Rice Krispies truck from years and years ago. I remember we were eating Rice Krispies. And I was like, hey, you can get a Hot Wheel from Rice Krispies. Can I do this, Dad? Like, we cut out the UPC and send it in, and I still have it.
Nice.
I'm all proud of it.
Shit's worth, man.
Yeah, I bet it's worth like $50,000 or something.
This guy, I love him. Wow. When she's like, honey, I've got this lady. She's going to evaluate your collection. Why? <It's>
like, who the hell is she? Why is there a woman? She has a vagina. Keep her away from my cars.
Well, there's one part where she's like, can I touch this? And he goes, well, I'll touch it. I'll show it to you. And she's like, okay, I guess I can't.
Yeah, and then whenever she starts talking about how rare the African-American G.I. Joe is, he's like, oh, so she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, hey, she knows all about this. And I don't know if you guys thought the same thing.
She knows this minority is a minority.
Now, why didn't he start collecting the Hasbro G.I. Joes? He's just into those old G.I. Joes with the they have the clothes and the guns. They are pretty cool.
Inches or something.
If I was a kid, when those came out, because, you know, that was way before I was born, but they had the machine guns and the shoes.
I had the one with the kung fu grip.
Yeah, I love that kung fu grip. That's funny. Kung
fu grip.
Bottom massage.
Bottom massage.
All right, let's check this out.
Don't touch my stuff.
Absolutely. Don't ever touch his stuff. No, I can't. No one can.
It's interesting that Jack doesn't want anybody touching his pieces when all of his pieces are piled up on top of each other. Any good collector knows that storing your collection this way can potentially damage your pieces and decrease the value.
Debbie's frustration is understandable.
I brought her here to look at your collection.
Why?
Because I'm an appraiser. I'm just here to look at your collection, kind of go through it, and maybe give you some ideas as to how we can curate it a little bit better. I've been around G.I. Joe for a long time.
All right, cool.
I saw you had some nice vintage pieces.
I really don't show a lot of people my stuff.
Huge fan of pork chops.
I don't want to take anything away from you. I just want to help you organize it. Clearly, you know, you're
Let's
a really
get
good collector.
To stay off his
it's
lawn.
Not organized in there.
Okay,
so I'm just here to help you. We're going to go through it. I want to see what's really good stuff. I'm excited to see it.
You know what? Against my judgment, I'll try it. Okay?
Am I allowed to touch anything?
Here, I'll start. Because I know where everything is.
I heard I'm not allowed to touch anything.
This is an original.
That's a really nice piece.
Thank you.
What else? Show me
something. Oh, another thing. Did you love how there was just shit everywhere?
Oh my god, it was embarrassing.
I could see why the wife just was sick of it. She didn't just, like, he gives her a hard time. It's like, see, you want to throw in the dumpster. It's like, I want it out of my house. You know, it's like, it's everywhere.
It's not your house, bitch. My house.
He just reminded me
Kung
of
Fu Grip
of Francis from the Stripes. No, will you touching my stuff?
Or I kill you.
The hair.
So I like the fuzzy hair and I like the Kung Fu grip because those are very collectible as well.
Oh,
vintage African-American G.I. Joes, when they're in their box, can sell for up to $3,000 on the auction market. Jack has a handful, so those are definitely keepers.
I really didn't want to show it to her because, you know, I thought she wasn't going to understand what I was collecting. And it turned out that she
He's
knew
hoarder,
very well
right?
how hard they were
yes.
to get. I'll let you touch that.
That's nice. I'm glad we're making progress here that I can touch it.
When Elisa was allowed to touch Jack's stuff, I was surprised.
Tell me about your car collection.
And I was a little shocked.
Really
seeking divorce.
Because it's what I grew up with.
How
how many diecast cars do you think he has?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. If you had to guess.
I'm going
to
say about 60,000 cars, and I still have stuff put away in places I forgot about. So.
Oh, my God. 60,000?
Yeah, every time I open it, look under a dresser or under a bed, there's some more stuff there that I completely forgot about.
Okay. He likes to acquire. He doesn't curate. He just buys and buys and buys without any thought process of where is this going, how am I organizing this, how is this going to affect me in the future?
It's like my 401k, buying this stuff instead of putting it into the stocks and bonds.
Okay.
And then I have so many friends that go, like, I lost everything.
Okay.
I wonder if he sees black helicopters,
but
too.
This is what I don't understand. You have a good eye, and you're knowledgeable about your collection, and you have a really big collection.
Yeah.
And if this is your retirement, it shouldn't be treated this way. Let's move some of the stuff outside.
That ain't going to happen. The sun is glaring out there. Half the stuff is plastic. Stuff's in packages.
Right, it's not going to melt.
The sun's hot. It'll melt in three minutes.
I'm going to say no.
Because of the heat. I was ready to lock the doors, put stuff in front of the doors. This stuff's not going outside.
I don't want anything to happen to it.
I don't want anything to happen either.
If anything, it was a safe environment, I wouldn't do it.
Just let her do it.
You understand about plastic and sun and heat? That's how they make it. They melt it.
Jack,
they heat it up to form
it. She is a collector. She knows that.
Deb, I can't put it in the sun.
It doesn't have to be in the sun. We have a tent.
If the shade is over, it's fine, but I'm not putting it in the sun.
Okay, we'll put the tent up.
Okay.
It isn't easy for Jack.
Please handle the stuff with care, but just please, I really get nervous moving the stuff around.
I'll be careful. We'll both be careful. Look, it's time to curate the collection.
Yeah.
I'm not a great expert on Hot Wheels, so I have some friends that are. I'm going to have them come and then hopefully really start getting this stuff together.
I was really nervous. I said, well, how the hell are they going to keep an eye on everything here? I don't know these guys.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
Hot Wheels are some of the most collectible of diecast car toys, so it isn't hard to appreciate how detailed they are. What's more difficult is knowing which ones are the most collectible. What do you think the whole collection's worth?
I don't see $40,000 to $50,000 being an unreasonable sum of money.
I absolutely concur with that.
It's mind-blowing.
$60,000 if they're all at least worth a dollar?
It's not being taken care of as well as it could be.
You want to put it in a dumpster now?
No, we're not putting it in the dumpster.
Yeah, she wanted to put it in a dumpster.
You did want to put it in the dumpster.
I just want the rooms cleaned out.
Okay, but now you know that it has value.
Another story.
I mean, and it's got good story.
Oh, he's such an asshole.
To watch Debbie's face was priceless. I don't have junk.
Well, they obviously have a very loving relationship.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Yeah. Just told you what's up, bitch.
Here, eat it. Eat it.
But at the end, they did show how their house was all cleaned up. So I guess he wisened up. The Barbie lady, though.
She's a psycho.
They were.
Did you see the way she reacted when they showed her that number one?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She's hyperventilating.
It was Indiana Jones when he's about to grab the idol in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, oh, I want to touch it.
I never thought I'd be able to touch one.
And she's, one thing I learned is, the original Barbie's eyes were turned. That was creepy, wasn't it? They aren't looking forward. They're kind of looking off to the side. Creepy.
I'm behind her. Ken is what she's doing.
But, there's people who collect everything, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, and that one, they took... I don't understand why she took her whole collection of holiday Barbies.
And then that guy wanted to buy it.
She wasn't going to sell them, yeah.
What was he like? I'll buy it for $1,000?
Yeah.
So there was another guy who's like, I gotta have them.
I love those Barbies.
But at least she had, I understand the host of the show wants to help him out. Like, display this, but get rid of the stuff you don't really need. You don't need it.
Yeah. Invest in what's the big thing. Like she said, if you really want the number one, get rid of the stuff that you don't need for the money for a number one.
Yeah, her family looks so beat down, too. Yeah, my mom likes Barbies. It's all in my closet, whatever. Damn it, please help me.
I can't bring those boys over here. The one looked like a man. Like, why is he still living at home with his parents?
I'm 35.
But, yeah. I'm 40 years old, and this is my closet of Barbies.
Yeah, I need closet space.
I need places to put my dead bodies. I mean, clothes.
The Hot Wheel guy, one thing that was funny is how he... I mean, until he got helped, but he didn't want to get rid of anything, and he didn't want anyone to touch anything.
Yeah.
I could see how that would be pretty, don't touch my stuff. Well, it's everywhere. How can I not touch it? Jeez.
Yeah, like, yeah, I love that. Bloop, bloop, bloop. I thought it was funny that the lady had bought a Waterford crystal bowl and he had it full of G.I. Joe clothes.
That was great. That's a fun show. I like it.
Yeah, it's like he's not he wasn't collecting anything. He was
hoarding a lot
of things. He could, yeah.
So there's people, like, if you collect stuff and it's like, it's so rare, I can't find it anywhere. There's some guy hoarding all the shit somewhere.
Yeah, 60 pair of G.I. Joe pants here.
Yeah, it's like those pants can't be found anywhere. It's because one guy has them. And he doesn't want
to
get rid of them.
For the Vietnam G.I. Joe.
Yeah, they never, like the Star Wars lady last week, they didn't show that she had multiples. Like this guy, he had multiples of stuff, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really want to get to the comic book guy because they keep teasing that. When do they show the comic book one? It's like,
What are they showing next week? Because mine got cut off before they
did the teaser. Comic book
they tease every week, so you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, you're not sure what if they're lying to you.
They'll show like multiples. Like they showed the comic book guy last week, but he wasn't on this year.
Yeah.
So like kind of how it is on Hell's Kitchen, they show an ambulance every week for the hell of it. Yeah.
Oh my god. All right, let's talk about Hotel Hell. One thing I like about the show is how I mentioned a little bit last week, but I love that Gordon narrates it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that because you don't have the narrator guy. Like, say, on Collection Intervention, that guy cracked me up.
I hate narrators.
Frustration is understandable.
Oh, her frustration is understandable. Okay.
I wonder how much a person like that gets paid to go to a booth and record stupid lines like that.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
Oh, okay. Well, things are very understandable.
Okay, I'm glad they're understandable.
We need to keep an eye on that. Every week there's a line about being understandable.
His understanding was understandable.
It isn't easy for Jack.
Oh, poor Jack.
Never is.
Now, in Hotel Hell, it starts just like Kitchen Nightmare. He's like, hello, how's it going? And he walks around, and this place is haunted. And I thought this part was pretty funny. That was so steep. Okay, who put the mannequin up in the upstairs room?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, let's check this out.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the King's
Good
Hotel.
To see you. Gordon. And your first name, sorry?
My name is Brittany. I'm the manager. I have you in room 117. That is $105 during the weekday and $135 on the weekend.
Okay.
I think Gordon's first impression of the hotel is going to be, what the f*** are these people doing?
The Cambridge Hotel, RIP.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yes.
It's died, you mean?
No. Rest in peace is the ghosts that live here. We are haunted.
Oh, come on.
There's a little girl who supposedly haunts the hotel. Alice.
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Oh, my good God. Yeah. She looks like something out of The Exorcist.
She was 4 years old in 1913.
When she died.
Well, I believe in ghosts at the hotel. I absolutely believe in them. Can I go up the stairs?
Freaky as well.
Why would you
advertise
it?
Do
you
want
to go to
the place that's haunted?
Are they the owners?
No. Yes, I don't know who they are. Those have been here.
This place is littered with freaky pictures.
Yeah.
I'd go to the Alamo.
What's upstairs there?
That is our third floor.
Why is that roped off?
Because it is not accessible to our guests.
So where the ghosts are?
Well, that's where people say they are. If he goes up on the third floor, he is going to freak out. This is your room.
Oh my god. Bloody hell.
That wallpaper's
look at the wallpaper. What's the poster? What is that?
Just there.
So there's no handcuffs? No. Okay. So it's not a sex thing?
It is not a sex thing.
It's not a
sex thing to have in the bed.
I know. Welcome to the Cambridge Hotel.
Thank you. I am not going to forget this day in a hurry. Horrible linen. Rough and nasty. Holes. Look at that. And the bed doesn't even fit the base. Honestly, I've seen better linen inside hospitals. Horrible.
My bedroom is dated and uncomfortable. How could anyone think this was good enough for paying customers?
That, did that guy's bald head bother you? Did you just want him to shave?
Yes. Yeah, it was driving. I was, you know what? I was
going to
say something, but I wasn't because I didn't. I thought maybe you'd go, oh, leave him alone. Yes, it was driving me crazy. It was that peach fuzz.
Yeah, it's just like it. Your eye is attracted to the little few hairs remaining. So
yeah.
Just get rid of it, you know? Just
buzz it down.
Couldn't he just not do it? Or maybe he's one of those people who just doesn't care.
He's hanging on for every little last hair.
That flat cut. That,
you can kind of see it a little bit.
He was in the military, so he's holding on to that.
Wow. And I've got this part here where Gordon has all the all the other guests. I couldn't think of the word. Customers. All the other guests in his room. I think it's funny when they walk in, the room's not that big. There's all these people in there.
People.
Like, holy shit, what's going on in here?
Hell are these people in my room?
And he shows the iPad with, I forgot my toothbrush, and I went down to my car. And it's like, come on, Gordon, you didn't forget your toothbrush. But this part was great because it is kind of scary, isn't it?
No.
Bill, you could be murdered in this place.
I could be raped.
You could be raped.
I loved that. That's the first place he went was, oh, my God. And then there's these women in there like, oh, my God, I could be raped. So I'm like, no, honey, I don't even think of rape.
The thing that was scariest is that the door's unlocked and then all the keys and credit card information is just right there.
That's
right.
A little much, yeah. That's.
You don't even have to walk that far in if you're some kind of bad person. Like, I'll just walk up here.
It's like no one would know that until this episode.
Right.
So now everyone knows. Okay, man, I'm going to go steal me some credit card information.
Let's check this out.
These are the guests that have been staying in the hotel. I've asked them in my room this morning just to help you understand how difficult it has become for guests to actually stay here. Who would like to go first?
I took a shower this morning and used what I thought was a clean towel, and there was hair in the towel.
Oh, my God.
That in itself was actually very uncomfortable.
Yeah, we left our room last night and couldn't lock our door, so we had to leave our hotel room door unlocked.
Son of a bitch.
Hand on hearts, how many of you would return here?
Yeah.
The way you know.
Anyone?
Not unless you pay me to stay here.
What I'm more pissed off about than anything is that last night I went downstairs. I forgot my toothbrush. I went down to the car. And I cannot believe this. Just watch carefully. I went outside. So, stepped down the stairs. And all of a sudden, damn, I've locked myself out. I've got no keys to get back in. The bloody front door is not locked at
night.
The
front door is bloody?
Now,
well, it's haunted,
there's no night porter. There's no security. And then, shock horror, I went behind the reception desk and every one of your keys is hanging, replicated in the pigeon box.
I went into all your rooms last night as you slept.
Is there a
picture of me? No, every room. Credit card
Gordon's
details,
just standing at the bottom of their bed, staring at
us. It's all of you. It's
scary to think about it.
Why is the door not locked?
There's no good reason.
We haven't locked it in a long time, though.
No, about 2 years.
In this community, you have eight
major
burglaries.
Did the door have a lock and they just didn't want to lock it?
Yes.
Three registered sex offenders locally in this community. I mean, how does that make you feel that we...
I know them all personally.
...in this hotel last night, and each and every one of us was
one of you in this room is on that list.
That's
right.
John and Tina have broken the first law of hospitality. Keep your guests safe. John's so busy interfering with other people's jobs, he's lost sight of what really matters.
I'm not joking around on the burglaries.
Oh,
The sex offenders.
I know.
Your reputation could be over in seconds, on one incident in this hotel. Because you're not going to walk around this town as a prosecutor, a chief lawyer, and then be responsible for a serious rape taking place inside here. Wake up. You're running a business, not a courtroom.
And they're here for an experience, not a sentence.
Sell the place, because you're not fit to run it. Sell it, because this is madness. Sell it, and keep your house.
Holy shit, wow.
Now, whenever he left the room, there was a creepy rapist hiding in the hallway, just peering in, waiting to violate people.
He's like, damn, I've been busted.
Damn.
But there, the
I've
place
got
is...
the most amazing sex offender out in the hallway.
Now, the place was the home of Pie a la Mode guys. That's where it originated. Which is it pie with ice cream?
Yes. Yeah.
How did they think of it first? How did other people not put this together?
I have no idea.
How did people not think pie with ice cream? I don't get it. Just
all I know is now I want pie with ice cream.
It did look good, didn't it?
Yes.
But one thing I really... Bill, when you watched it, you were talking about how there's a part that was really touching on it.
Yeah, it made me squeak out a couple small, very, very small tears.
And... at first, I wasn't when I was watching it, when he does the pies, there's a part where Scooter, the kid who works in the thing, he goes, Scooter, you're right?
Scooter.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's Scott. But,
I love Scooter.
I do this whenever there's someone Scott, you got to call him Scooter.
Mm-hmm.
But he asks Scooter what he thinks, and he just starts crying. He's like, oh, what's the matter, little guy? And he's just like... it's just really, you know, you've really done a great job or whatever, and he's really moved. So I was like, oh, that's what Bill's talking about, because the guy is just a sweet guy. There's a part here on this clip where he explains.
At 19 years old,
he's had two heart surgeries and two back surgeries.
Yeah.
And he went into cooking because he couldn't do anything else, right?
He couldn't play sports.
He couldn't do real physical things. And Gordon notices that he's a hard worker and he's fast, and he's like, that's an asset to have in a kitchen, you know? So there's this part here at the end when he does something for Scooter. And it
Scooter
is
Magooter.
I watch it more than once, and when it's always moving every time you see it. Let's check this out.
There's a new energy in the hotel. This is Chef Richie's chance to prove he can cook with fresh ingredients. Nothing out of a bag.
Please, no preheated, all fresh, yeah?
All fresh, great.
Rich, it's your responsibility to teach these guys how to cook.
Absolutely.
Not to reheat. Is that right, Scoot? Yeah?
Absolutely. He's just sort of commoners.
Oh, good man. And who inspired you to be a chef?
I had relatives everywhere pushing me to join the culinary field because I wasn't physically able to do any other things, like sports and stuff.
Yet. What's the disability?
I've had two heart surgeries and two back surgeries.
How old are you?
19.
Yeah, you move fast. That's a big asset. And you haven't been taught properly yet, have you?
No.
That's incredible. So what do you want to be when you grow up?
I would like to have my own bakery and be a professional executive pastry chef.
Wow.
In the 1890s, the Cambridge Hotel gave birth to world-famous Pie a la Mode. And I think that dish can put the hotel back on the map today.
Something I thought was a huge missed opportunity.
I've been working on an amazing, very special apple pie recipe that I'm going to give to you, that you own, and it becomes the best apple pie in America. And on the back of that, we've transformed this room through here to the a la mode room.
Come through. Oh my God. Beautiful.
There's ice cream everywhere.
Dig in. Come on, guys.
If anybody wants this, you better get on it.
That's so bad.
Oh my God,
that's
awesome.
The world-famous Cambridge Hotel apple pie a la mode.
That is the best crust I have ever had on a pie.
Welcome to the Cambridge Hotel. We now have the best apple pie a la mode in
this pie tastes like shit.
We're going to be excited.
Scary, what do you think, bud?
I'm shocked.
You're shocked? Are you happy?
I don't know what to say.
Oh, mate, don't get upset, buddy. What's the matter?
I'm so happy.
Oh, good. I'm happy too as well. You know that. Okay?
Thank
Come
you.
On, buddy.
Seeing how much he changed the hotel was very overwhelming. I can feel a change. I'm a lot more inspired. Right now, I feel like I could accomplish anything in the kitchen.
Before I leave this place, there's one more person I want to talk to.
Hey, big man. So you've got 3 more years left at college, right?
About 4.
Okay, hear me out. Okay. I want you to keep in touch with me.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my email address. Okay. Because I want to finance those next 4 years in college personally and help you.
okay? Do it for you. And keep that dream alive one day of owning your bakery. And then when your bakery's open, all I want back is a loaf of bread. Okay?
It's pretty unbelievable that he's going to be able to finance my 4 years of school.
Well done. Good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
Can't wait to finish school and pay him off for that big loaf of bread.
You have an amazing pair of hands and a lovely smile. Don't stop, okay?
Got it.
And God help you if you fail that college.
Thank you.
You won't, though. I know you won't. Well done.
Thank you so
okay?
much. When I go to school, I'm going to push myself 200 times harder. I'm going to show Gorin what I can do and how fast I can do it.
Good night.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, good job, man.
Awesome job.
Hey, you deserve it.
Definitely.
What a week. What a place. And now, whenever I see Ella Mode, I know where it started.
I thought that it was really sweet and touching.
That was. It was amazing. That kid had been through so much.
Yeah, and just...
And sometimes that's exactly what a person needs, is that extra, you know, effort, that bit of motivation. Like, there's somebody that actually believes in you enough to support you that way. That was just really moving to me.
There was a Kitchen Nightmares one time with... It was the Irish kid with the chin strap who...
Oh, yeah.
There's a part where... Yeah, it was that guy. Gorin says, "I believe in you." And he just immediately, like, bursts into tears. He's like, "Thank you. I needed to hear that from somebody." That's sometimes you just... Someone, the right person saying that to you can be all the motivation in the world.
Yep.
And I really hope Scooter does get his bakery one day.
Yeah, I hope he does too. It was a little heartbreaking at the end to see that the bank had foreclosed on the place.
Yeah, that guy,
he drove it into the ground.
He was a jackass. He ran it into the ground. His plan was to, remember, his wife says he wants to keep putting money into it until he fails. He doesn't care if we lose the house. We'll move into the third floor until we have not a penny left. And it's like, that's no way to run a business. And but it does say, but Scooter is in school, though, so that's good.
Yeah, I like that touch. That was comforting.
It was sad that the place closed, but Scooter, he's going to be fine. It's like, the rest of you guys got to go work somewhere else.
Fend for yourselves.
Poor guys. So what do you guys say, we take a break? Or do you want to talk about Hell's Kitchen real quick?
No, we can take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll be right back, guys, with some Smell's Kitchen talk. What do you say? Sounds awesome.
Oh, sounds good.
Students, are you ready?
Yes, Chef!
I want something round and crisp, buttery tasting. A taste so good, oh, nothing will take its place.
It's not just anyone. It's the only one that'll satisfy me.
When I want a cracker, I want a Ritz.
When you want a cracker, one taste comes to mind. Golden Buttery Ritz Crackers. They're delicious anytime.
When you want a cracker, you want a Ritz.
Thanks, son.
There's a remarkable new Coronet bath tissue. It's called Angel Soft. It's delightfully soft. It's two layers soft. In fact, it's rather amazing something so down to earth could be so soft. New Angel Soft bath tissue. It's Angel Soft. Soft.
Long John Silver's is the perfect place to learn the value of a dollar. Right, boys?
Mrs. Salmage.
What is this?
The seafood platter.
And these?
Fish, shrimp, clams.
Excellent! And the seafood platter's price?
$3.99.
Right! And that is?
Value. Can we eat now?
Long John Silver.
May we eat now?
Sounds good to me.
Sam's in the class over with the video camera and a cheerleader's on her way over.
Friday, nothing is easy when teaching a teenager responsibility.
I was right to trust him.
You hid in the kitchen.
Nothing is easy. Then it's the premiere of The Popcorn Kid.
No pressure there.
They're young and eager.
What am I going to do for talent?
And they'll do anything to entertain you.
Want to watch?
I would love to.
Domino's Pizza delivers quality. It takes fresh baked quality to avoid the noid. We keep the noid out and all the quality in. So avoid the noid. Call Domino's Pizza now for hot quality pizza. Domino's Pizza delivers.
A winning garden is like a winning season. To have one, each member of the team has to do his job. This is the Hyphenex team, the best there is, including the newest member of the team, Hyphenex Lawn Fertilizer. It's specially formulated with selected nutrients to give your lawn that plush, green, healthy look. New Hyphenex Lawn Fertilizer. It gives your lawn that home field advantage.
Stephen Chrysler Plymouth set out to sell 100 new cars last weekend, and the results were great. But since we didn't quite make our goal, we're trying again this weekend. Chrysler Corporation has restocked our inventory, and once again, we're staying open until midnight on Friday and Saturday, making unbelievable deals on all models of Chrysler and Plymouth cars. Officials from Chrysler are here to offer you the best in on-the-spot financing. Wherever you live in Kansas, it's worth the drive to Stephen Chrysler Plymouth. You'll probably never see prices like these again. Stephen Chrysler Plymouth, 7127 East Kellogg.
You're really on the move from coast to coast, so you need a bank that can keep pace with you. Well, only First Interstate Bank has over 1,000 day and night tellers and is part of Cirrus, so you can get cash instantly across the country. So come to First Interstate. We're not just keeping pace, we're setting the pace.
Has NutraSweet. It started with a simple idea. Create a real difference in makeup. Makeup so pure, even women with sensitive skin could wear it. So beautiful, every woman will want to. Introducing Clarion. A new makeup that's not only free of fragrance and irritants, but ultra pure. So Clarion is good to your skin. And it does all the dazzling things you want makeup to do. Clarion is beautiful makeup with a sensitive touch. And that's the difference, pure and simple.
Does the job. The Double Beef Whopper. Burger King. The best food for fast times.
I thought of skimping, but how could I skimp on a smile like that? So I buy Kraft Singles. Imitation slices use hardly any milk, but Kraft is made from 5 ounces per slice, so she gets calcium for strong teeth and a healthy smile. She doesn't know what that big Kraft means. Glad I do.
Kraft Singles, more milk makes a
good. Skimp on that smile. Are you kidding?
You'd no more settle for a flake in your hair than a spot on your tie.
You passed the test. Your good grooming has the look of success.
Your head and shoulders above the best.
One flake can mean dandruff. Regular shampoos may rinse flakes, but head and shoulders protection goes to the source to help stop flakes.
And that's doing it right.
Your head and shoulders above the best.
When the color in a picture is so close to nature it can tempt a bee, so real the picture practically comes to life, and so true it can even fool an expert, then you know it's the color of Kodacolor 2 film. Color's so good, it may surprise you. Kodacolor 2 film, From Kodak, of course.
Ooh! Ah!
That's the sound of new improved Sinex. Now a second of...
Ooh!
And up to 12 hours of...
Ah!
Medicated Vicks vapors penetrate tough congestion instantly with a powerful feeling of relief.
Ooh!
Then new Sinex shrinks swollen nasal membranes even longer. So now you breathe freely for up to 12 hours.
Ah!
New improved Sinex long-acting nasal spray. A second of...
Ooh!
Even more.
Ah.
Ryder knows the newer the rental truck, the more you can save. Save headaches, save money on fuel. So every year, Ryder buys lots of new trucks for you to rent and lease. Now, if you, through some wild chance, can guess the number of new trucks Ryder bought last year, we'll give you $1 next time you rent a Ryder truck. Rent a Ryder truck.
12,208.
Save a buck.
12,208.
We are USA One. Taking charge with a Chevrolet so versatile. It's part moving van, part school bus, part camper, and part sporty car. The front-wheel drive Chevy Citation, outselling every other front-wheel drive over the past 3 years combined. USA One is taking charge.
Welcome, freshmen, to Montclair High School. This year, this class is special because this year, this class is challenged.
Oh, great.
Our goal is so big. Are you gonna be late? Why does everyone look older than you?
Do you have a pass?
I'm looking for my homeroom.
I need your pass.
I'm new here.
I need your pass.
Why can't you go in the right direction? How come you don't know?
Welcome to Agronomy 2.
Whoops. By the end of the day, you're finding your place. Learning the ropes, learning the pace. Time to get away to our place. For the good time, great days.
50 pages tonight? Oh, great.
The good time, great days.
Tomorrow will be better.
You mean we gotta go back?
Of McDonald's.
Hit series on Food Network.
Camera B now.
Restaurant guru Willie Deagle knows the secret to success.
She's massaging a customer.
Is knowing all the secrets.
That is a red flag.
His hidden cameras let restaurant owners see the awful truth.
These people are smacking you in the face, but you're accepting it.
It's a free-for-all in here.
That bartender's robbing them blind.
Give me that kitchen now.
Look at that. That's a health violation. This place is insane.
These eyes don't miss a thing. Restaurant Stakeout. Next Wednesday night at 10 on Food Network.
I'll be watching.
Willie Deagle be watching. You better watch out. Massaging the customer.
Can't wait till that phone show is back.
I wonder if they'll be a little more subtle in their phoniness.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Be less phony.
Tension breaker had to be done.
I quite understand, sir. So let's talk about Hell's Kitchen, huh? What is there, like 5 people left?
Yes.
What do you guys think of Provenza? Sweaty? Kind of gross?
Gross.
That dude sweats so much.
And he's very gross.
Dirty
very
looking.
He's always
Yeah, he's dirty looking, exactly. Like he needs a shower.
He's always got this flop sweat
too.
Going. Yeah, he's just gross and... There was a Gordon called him something one time.
He works real messy.
And he was like, "You're so messy, Provenza." But on this episode, you know, they had the Miss Teen USAs.
Yes.
Did you notice they're past one, so they're in their 20s
yeah.
now, so it's okay.
Yeah.
One guy was like,
"Yeah, so it's okay to go, oh man, she's hot. I totally do that."
Yeah, but one guy was like, "Well, you know, I'm not saying anything, you know.
I'm not saying it, but I'm saying it. You know what I'm saying?
You know the one girl who's like loud like this? She's always hollering? She might be a finalist, maybe.
No way.
You don't think so?
No, she's terrible.
She doesn't seem to
miss something. I don't know how these are the people that are left.
I think the one guy who's left. Is that the one guy? The one skinny guy?
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the finalist.
There's one dude.
And the one girl, the brunette girl. Not Barbie.
Yeah, okay,
though.
Yeah.
I wish I knew their names.
The lesbian that isn't, like, screaming about her being a lesbian.
Which one is that?
She's real plain.
Right. She's a lesbian?
Yeah. She said something about her girlfriend.
You're right.
She said something about it.
I like the part where Provenza, because Gordon Ramsay makes him some chicken parm, but there's a part where Provenza is mashing all the chicken where he makes them gigantic. And Chef Scott's like, what are we supposed to do with this? It's gigantic. That part cracked me up. But let's go ahead and check this out and just be entertained by Hell's Kitchen. The show's ridiculous.
Why don't I cook you something delicious? Mm. Some comfort food. When we think of comfort food...
You keep calling him Provenza, but I think it's Clemenza, isn't it?
Clemenza. I don't know what's happening, but chicken parm.
Provenza from a couple seasons ago.
Chicken, my mad sauce, my fidel. Doesn't get better.
Yeah. You've got a good sauce, marinara. Clemenza is what?
Garlic, onions, tomatoes.
Come on, put a heat in there. A
little bit of chili.
How much?
You keep going.
Fresh tomatoes. Okay, chicken breast. Butterflies. Pound it. Nice and light.
I am watching every little thing because Chef Ramsay doesn't just cook us chicken parm to cook us chicken parm. We're being tested on this.
Really crispy.
Yes, Chef.
Wait a minute. There's got to be a catch. All right, Chef Ramsay, what is it? What do you got today?
And there we go. Dig in. Have a little taste. Please.
Like, really? My chicken parm will blow that out the water. I'll have my people call your people and we'll do lunch and I'll show you how it's done.
You saw me make it, right?
Riddled in sweat.
Comfort, delicious food.
Good. It's extra salty.
Next challenge. I would like each of you to produce the exact duplicate of my chicken parmesan.
I knew it.
Parmesan.
All right, here we go. I'm amped up. Bring it on.
Mozzarella.
Easy?
Yes, Chef.
No, it's mozzarella.
Way too easy.
Mozzarella.
Isn't it? That's why today you won't actually be making it. You'll be teaching someone else how to make it.
You ready for loud?
It's now time for Hell's Kitchen Cooking School.
That's awesome. Yeah! I love teaching. This is what I do. I teach people how to cook.
Are you ready to meet
your
students?
Shut up.
Give a warm welcome to Miss Teen USA 2010.
Oh, my goodness. Right away, I push my patience button. Ding.
Miss Teen USA 2008.
In walked the most beautiful young ladies I've ever seen in my life. It was a little mind-blowing.
Miss Teen USA 2007.
Mind you there, Miss Teen USA, I wasn't thinking anything crazy.
Miss Teen USA 2006.
Oh, God.
And Miss Teen USA 1972. Like
Miss Teen USA 2005.
You girls are not dressed to cook today.
Lovely. Ladies, first of all, thank you so much for making the kitchen look so glamorous. Chefs, across from each of you are your students.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
Hi there.
That's right. You must recreate my chicken parm 100%. Now, chefs, each of you cannot
there's a lot
touch
of sound effects
any
in
ingredients.
This.
All you can do is touch.
This damn canasta.
Students, are you ready?
Yes, Chef.
It's just moments before Hell's Kitchen opens for Italian night. Unfortunately, the resident Italian may have gone a little too far preparing the kitchen's chicken cutlets.
Why did we do this? I don't know what to do anymore.
Clemenza screwed up half the chicken, so now I don't even have enough orders of chicken breaded.
Take out the ones that are ridiculously large like this.
Okay. This isn't cool. Not at all.
I love double work.
Yeah, up. You know, I'm going to kick ass in dinner service, and that's what matters.
Clemenza.
I'm talking.
Cookie. In front of me. For 50% of your performance in this competition, you've been standing there. Seven times standing in front of me.
Let's go for it, Chef.
Why do you think you should stay in Hell's Kitchen?
Because I have done some good, and I have done a lot of good. Tonight wasn't embarrassing me. Being the Italian night, believe you me, I wanted to shine.
Italian night.
I wanted to do more. I did not quit once during service. No matter what you said, no matter what was thrown out of me, I kept going and going and going.
My question to both of you, why was there no synergy?
I find it hard to trust Clemenza on the line. He is disorganized. He puts stuff everywhere.
What the no. They told you every risotto wasn't done right. Your answer to me was taken up there.
Okay, the person leaving Hell's Kitchen. Clemenza. Sorry, big boy. Give me a jacket and leave Hell's Kitchen, please.
Yes, Chef.
I appreciate all your effort, but you are not ready for Vegas.
Love you, Commander. Love you, Snack Pack.
Snack Pack.
Snick.
Snack. Love you, Snack Pack. See you later, Snack Pack. You know what? Nice.
What the hell are those finger things called? It's not. It's not. You know, canasta, because it's a card game.
Castanets.
Castanets. Thank you.
Or as on Nowhere Mulberry, cicadas. It's some strange bug that's gotten inside Hell's Kitchen. They like to go. Boop, boop, boop.
They sound like R2-D2?
At the beginning, it always sounds like Jenny's got a gun. There.
Jenny's got a gun?
Yeah, listen to the beginning of it. It's
no, I don't want to.
Of Jenny's got a gun?
Yeah, the little...
There's that.
When they were introducing the girls a while ago.
Well, we're not listening to that entire clip again.
No.
You know what? We weren't talking about the show back when David Beckham was on, but I thought it was... What she said something like, he's rode in on a unicorn on a rainbow serving cupcakes or eating a cupcake or something. I thought it was pretty funny. He seemed like a really nice guy. I was like, oh, this is delicious. And I was like, he's best friends with Gordon Ramsay. That's why he's on the show. He's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
All right, Gordon, I'll be on your show.
One season of the F Word where he had his... one of the animals he was raising, like the sheep or something, stay at the Beckham's estate.
Oh, really?
And one of them got killed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of them got eaten by a fox or something.
Oh, so like a soccer ball hit it in the head. Fell over. You know what's funny? I saw Gordon Ramsay on Jimmy Kimmel this week talking about Hotel Hell. And I'd heard about him getting injured in a celebrity soccer game, but I didn't see the footage. This dude nailed him, like, bad. Like, Gordon's not looking the same direction. He's got the ball. He's kind of kicking the ball. The guy comes up and just mows him down.
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you see that? Yeah. And he's like, Gordon's like, ah, you know, his face. And the guy, as he gets up off of Gordon, he's laying on top of him. He kind of goes, gives him a little
tap on the face.
Slap on the face as he's getting up. Like, ah, there you go, Gordon. And Gordon got taken off on a stretcher.
So. I'm looking. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw this. This was the Soccer Aid charity.
Yeah,
I saw this. This was in May, I think. Yeah.
And what's funny is Will Ferrell was in that same game, and he got injured, too.
So was Woody Harrelson.
So they were, like, injuring the celebrities, like, on purpose.
Yeah. I think Woody Harrelson was in it, and Mike Myers was in it. There was a lot of people in it.
And they were like, let's take them out. Take out all the celebrities. All right. I'm excited to talk about Face Off. Because I was so excited, just like the contestants, to see Sean Astin, huh?
What the hell was that about?
I don't know. They're like, go stand by the pool and greet them as the show.
I honestly think he was just there.
Yeah. That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It made absolutely no sense.
He's been in a makeup chair so he can judge makeup.
It's like, no, he can't. But
he had hobbit feet put on him.
Yeah, what was that? And there's one guy who goes, I was just watching you. And he goes, really? With a telescope over there?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was just watching one of your movies. Really, which one? I'm so interested in what you have to say.
Now, what was that first thing they did, the first task? It was like...
they had to create stuff from around the poolside.
Right. And this one guy does a burn victim or something, and it looks like a paper mache head.
It's the worst paper mache ever.
There was a spot that
the
he
eyeball
was breathing, and it was collapsing and blowing out as the guy was breathing.
Yeah, it was awful.
Wasn't it the guy that was terrible? Was it that Joey guy with the faux hawk or mohawk?
Yes, it's the guy who later on we'll talk about that. But wow. And Steven, you were kind of talking about, like, you think the guy was a fraud, like, and he gets found out on the show. That's why.
Yeah, total fraud.
Because he didn't show
yet. He didn't know what he was doing.
There's this part. I'll play this clip here of what the task was. But you could see the guy doing the clay. And he would go, no. And he'd take his hand and just smush it. I'd be like, dude, what is your effing problem, man? You don't touch my shit, you know?
That head thing that they created was just so disastrous.
I was laughing because it was the worst thing I think I've ever seen on the show. It was
And that
bad.
Poor guy who got stuck with him, you know.
And what
I don't know that he's any better, but
well, I just felt bad for him because he was like, I don't want to get voted off because of this bullshit. Do I say something or do I not say something?
Right.
Right.
And there's remember the part where he's putting the makeup on the model and she's like, you're hurting me.
Yeah.
You're like poking me and I can't breathe. He's like, oh, I'm going to hurry. Oh, my skull.
Now, any of you homos.
Huh? Oh, that was just psycho.
You know what's funny? I was looking on the website to see what the guy's background was. And they totally removed him. He's not on the Face Off website under contestants.
Dude, he was a fraud.
I told you, that's what I said. He just didn't know anything what he was doing.
Okay, normally, if somebody's eliminated, they're still on there. They're just laid out.
Right.
But he's completely removed from
the
website.
They just erased him.
You kind of wonder if they kind of researched him after that first makeup bit.
So they had to have.
Maybe it's possible that he didn't leave. They make it seem like he just leaves in disgust, but maybe they're like, come with us, you know?
Yeah, this is so bad that we have to talk to you.
Yeah, because they have pictures from their portfolio. He could have easily used someone else's work and go, yeah, I did this.
Right.
Yeah.
And the guy was psychotic the way he behaved, too.
He was so weird. Like, I mean, he obviously had some sort of mental thing going on.
And he made the other guy a neurotic mess.
Or was he just tweaking out on something, you know?
I don't know what to do.
I don't know if he was tweaking, but he was definitely strange. Like, just he was always sweaty and
that's why I think he was on something.
You know, and okay, the whole task they do has to do with Star Wars, which is awesome. But they're like, she goes, Star Wars. And they start playing this music that's not the Star Wars theme. And I was like, no. Why bother if you can't play it? Because anyone who sees this is going to go, what the hell is that they're playing?
Yeah, and then they introduce the special guest.
Yes. And
I was thinking, like, maybe he did some of the prosthetic work for the prequels or something.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who actually was involved in the art of the film.
It's the voice of General Grievous, Bill.
You forgot the coughing.
On the Clone Wars cartoon. Now let's go ahead and check this out, and it pretty much plays the whole episode. Let's check this out. It's awesome.
Welcome to the 20th Century Fox Backlot. Your first Spotlight Challenge is based on the most influential film franchise in history, Star Wars.
I'm old enough that I actually saw Star Wars in its original theatrical run.
What is that
music? Since 1977, Star Wars has expanded to everything from action figures to video games. There's even an animated series, The Clone Wars. And that brings us to today's special guest. He is a longtime Lucasfilm collaborator, and he also happens to be the voice of General Grievous in Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Please say hello to Matthew Wood. As a longtime Lucasfilm collaborator, there are many classic Star Wars
scenes. I used to fetch him coffee.
That's one of your favorites.
First scene I remember as a kid when I was 5 years old was the cantina. Every
it should have been like kind of close to the cantina music, but
so
not
that was my favorite.
And that, my friends, is the focus of our first
When I first heard this, I was
challenge.
Like, awesome!
You're going to need to create an alien
awesome.
That would fit in a modern version of that classic
the
cantina scene.
Oh. I'm geeking out. I know that cantina scene inside and out. So this is a dream come true.
Now you'll be
he
working in randomly
like
selected teams of two.
I start sculpting out the
like
face.
You.
I'm in the zone and I have a constant distraction.
I told you that this was not supposed to be a nose. It's supposed to be cut off altogether.
I'm being treated like I've never done this before. I am miserable. I can't create. I feel blocked.
No. Dude, sliver of the tear drops.
It's very hard for me to focus, and this is the first challenge, and I don't want to screw it up.
Wait, don't put your phone flashing in my face, though, because I can't breathe it.
Be nice.
Okay, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, wait, you're pushing too hard, and it's really heavy.
I can hear her going, ow, stop, and, like, she's not happy.
When you press down, like, my neck is, like...
I understand completely. At this point, I'm just getting embarrassed.
By the way, I wanted to talk about the other guys who do the robot body with the tiny guy inside.
Yeah.
I did think it was a clever idea, but I thought the two girls who had the cool kind of warrior woman was right. Way more Star Wars.
I was shocked that they picked that. To win, the guy in the bad robot outfit.
I think they were just blown away that they were inventive or something, creative.
I guess, but it looked like a rushed Halloween costume.
Yeah, because...
Like, it looked like cardboard.
The girl warrior they made from Dagobah looked like something that could be from Star Wars. She had the cool, cloak, and she had
it
the cool
It was totally
mask.
Original.
Yeah, it was cool looking, and she
the breathing
had,
apparatus, that awesome weapon she had, that pole arm. I don't know what mm-hmm. it was.
Oh, you know,
I like how everybody was like, you know what? I'll do a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
So my favorite was the first one, like the bug man with the blade arms. I was like, what on earth is this?
So like and Ultraman,
then the saxophone guy.
Yeah, they're like he's a musician, and he had in Star Wars, you're not gonna have like a tenor sax like Kenny G or something. And then we'll do a waitress. Yeah, how creative,
genius. Yes,
and the girl
I like the fact that they gave her a the thing she held the drinks with,
yeah,
the platter. It was glued on, so she couldn't even like give the drinks away. She was pouring fake pouring the drink into another cup.
You know what my favorite part was? When they're like, "Let's do our own cantina scene."
Yes,
dun, 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 dun. And it's all the characters. And you know what? The only character that looked right there was the girl, the warrior girl. She's
yeah.
kind of leaning over on the bar, and I was like, "Yeah, she totally works."
Yeah, the cloak. They were all like, "Man, you're the only one that gave anyone a cloak."
You could see I could picture her in the cantina, some badass warrior chick in the corner, like, "Damn, who's that?" You know, or
yeah.
something. But the other guy, like the saxophone guy, like horrible,
yeah,
awful.
Yeah,
it was really, really bad. It looked like it's like that that V. Neil said. It looked like a burn victim, a bad burn victim.
Yeah, it was
the
awful.
Red. Whose idea was to do red paint?
Well, they wanted it to be more orangey, he said, but it came out too red.
But man, okay, let's get to the guys with the biggest disaster. Oh, my God.
What even was that head thing?
It was so bad.
It didn't make any sense. It was
like
a pus head.
It was like a squished turtle.
Yeah. It looked awful. And I
like that he said the top was supposed to be like a turtle shell, and that V-Neil was like, oh, I didn't get that at all.
I know.
Or she said it was like a squished frog or something.
Yeah. She goes out.
Tommy and Joe, step forward.
Well, this should be good.
There's no way in hell I'm going down for this. Joe led this project.
Can I just say something?
I'm going to try to do this in the most tasteful way possible.
Glenn, your makeup is horrible.
I can honestly say, it's my fault. I really wish I would have taken lead on this. I wish I would have painted it. I'm ashamed to bring this before you guys. We had a lot of problems working together. I felt that the only way for us to accomplish anything was for one of us to take point. And halfway through the second day, apparently the only way that was going to happen is if I took direction. I mean, I'm not throwing him under the bus by any means.
Kind of you are, actually, yes.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart to have to stand here like this for you guys.
Yeah, are you finished? Can we get to talking about the makeup?
Yeah.
What an asshole.
It's singularly unexceptional. I'm drawn to the crudeness of the color application, and so many of the mistakes are completely indefensible. The color scheme looks like layer after layer after layer of one color, resulting in a stunning shade of mud. What color scheme were you going for? Like, what was the intent?
I was going to do something like a turtle on top.
Wow, I never would have picked that one. It looks like a squish frog that you put an Easter hat on.
Okay.
One of the problems is there's no focal point. There's no place that I think I want to look. Quite frankly, I just want to look away because it's so offensive aesthetically.
Wow. And what happened
That's
to our
awesome.
Feet?
We ran out of time.
Yeah,
you guys
just
do realize that if and when you make it into the profession, you're going to have to work with people that you do not like. It's a fact.
No, absolutely.
It happens. And so this is a mark of professionalism, your ability to overcome that obstacle and get on with it. It's extremely important.
I was trying to accomplish what he originally visioned or what he originally drew.
I couldn't do a single thing without you touching it or telling me how wrong I was doing it, because apparently you know everything. Somebody back me up here.
I like that he said, someone help me out here, and they all just kind of stare.
Yeah, I mean, those every one of those people there saw what was going on. Somebody should have at least spoke up and said, he's right.
It's just,
we have to come to his defense.
It's just so
awkward.
Or did
they cut that out?
Yeah, but it's
well,
just
maybe
so
they,
awkward,
you know what,
too.
Steven, they probably did.
When Glenn Hetrick is like, are you done? Can we talk about makeup now? It's just like, I'm just
Can we talk about my perfectly sculpted hair and touch of gray?
Glenn Hetrick is really into his look. You could tell, like, he sits very still because got everything laying perfectly the way he wants to look.
Did you see at the very beginning of it that the hairdo he had where it was like a flat kind of thing with an edge and just it was so manicured and so perfect.
Oh,
he really does love himself, and that's good for him. But
at the very beginning, when it names the judges, it was like Glenn Hetrick of Optic Nerve. He kind of does this head turn towards the camera. It's just hilarious. Like,
yeah, that's me. I'm awesome.
Just picture him. Yeah, in his head, he's like,
"You wish you were me. You know
I'm
it.
Awesome.
You wish you were designing costumes for Lady Gaga too."
Were you upset that Patrick Papadopoulos isn't going to be on the show?
I was so upset Patrick Papadopoulos.
Patrick Tatopoulos Papadopoulos. But they got this other guy, the Neville Page guy. Is that his name?
Page is actually, I've heard him. I've heard of him. He's
done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The first thing when they said he worked on Super 8 and Prometheus, I was like, this isn't the guy who puts four arms on everything, is it, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
It is. Oh, my God. It's the guy who designed.
He's the guy that designed
Cloverfield.
He puts baby arms on everything.
He designed Cloverfield. Did he design what else did he? But everything has four arms that he designs.
Yes, it has to have four arms. So now we know what he looks like. Watchmen, Cloverfield, Star Trek. Remember that ice beast in Star Trek?
Yep.
Four arms.
I always heard that it was the rejected Cloverfield monster.
Yeah.
Wow. But I enjoyed Face Off, and I thought it was, you could tell.
So you could win him over by putting four arms on his creature.
Exactly. Man, really.
Ooh, I like this design.
The idea that it has more than two arms.
If those chicks warrior woman had two extra arms, he'd be like, I think I'm leaning towards this one, guys. Okay.
I'm hiring these girls to work for me.
Offerable baby arms he would love.
Just
flopping at the side.
If I was going to do something like the weird baby creature in the robot, I would have given him levers to put it, but he was holding like jewels or something.
It was so ugly and just stupid and
disturbing kind
of. Yeah, that's a good idea because he didn't have any controls.
Yeah,
how did he control the.
Yeah.
You know, he needed little gas pedals and
control. He used his gigantic earlobes.
I thought the idea was clever, but you're right. It was like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, it looked like a Halloween costume. It looked like.
Like the guy riding on the horse kind of costume.
Yeah, like they got the mom got a refrigerator, and they were like, "Hey, let's make something out of this refrigerator box."
Yeah, or like, have you ever seen where it's like you've got the
guy riding the ostrich?
Yeah, and it's got little tiny legs hanging down, but it's your real legs. Or that's what it was. They shouldn't have let those guys win.
No, it was terrible. That guy needs to get rid of that hat.
He's one of those guys who never takes off the cowboy hat. All right, let's talk about Top Chef Masters. Bill, you watched it, right?
I did watch it, and I was shocked at some of the people they had on it because of, the high level that these people are.
Like they're pretty cool.
Takashi guy. I kept waiting for him to say Takashi Mike.
Yeah, Takashi Mike is on there, and he seems to be pretty formidable. I see Baby now. She's trying to outright bite you, Steven.
I'm trying to ignore her so she'll calm down.
She's play-biting with Steven. She loves Steven. She loves Steven.
Like Gaines burgers.
Yeah, Steven tastes like Gaines burgers. I tell you, he's got dog
zombie
nip.
Zombie flavor.
Yeah, Steven is dog nip. It's just funny, Bill. I got to... I'm going to video this where a baby just attacks Steven during the show.
If I was there, I wouldn't be able to concentrate because I'm a huge Beagle lover.
You know what? On Top Chef Masters, this had some great Lorena Garcia talking stuff where I didn't understand a word of it. And it had some great James Osland.
Oh, and it had a great moment with Takashi Mike because he's a horn dog.
Takashi Mike.
When they bring in Holly Madison, who was a Playboy model, she's done nothing except show her breasts and vagina.
I was really upset. I thought they said Dolly Madison at first. I was like, I'm a huge fan of fruit pies and cupcakes. And, go get Twinkie the Kid and Fruit Pie the Magician.
I love that that Takashi said, oh, she's a top model.
Yeah. I have that. Let's check this out. It's pretty good. Even Art says, you know, I'm gay, but she's pretty gorgeous.
By the way, I'm gay. Like he always has to drop that in. Like he even did like Southern Queen cooking. Like everything's about how gay he is.
My confidence is growing. I'm always going to the source of who I am.
Lorena
as a chef and as a person.
Please welcome to the Top Chef Master's Kitchen, Miss Las Vegas herself, Holly Madison.
Talk about beauty. I mean, I'm a gay man. She's hot and gorgeous.
Hi, chefs. I'm really excited to be here.
This is unbelievable. Holly Madison, she is a top model. She's famous, beautiful young lady. This is a great, great deal for us.
Holly's invited 150 of her best friends to come for a cocktail pool party.
One thing we really like here in Vegas is the brunch buffet, and that's a ton of variety. It's everything from healthy choices, fruit, to crazy pastries and crazy French toasts.
You think we can do that, chefs?
We're here for you.
I love brunch. I make brunch every weekend in my house, with my friends, in my pool. I'm leaving Miami Beach. Hello. That's what we do.
Lorena Garcia.
They're going to want comfort food. They're going to want junk food. There's two things I don't like, garlic and onions.
Oh, waffles and fried chicken, bitch.
Spinning right now.
No onion, no garlic. That's the thing.
That's that shit and honey.
I'm thinking, my God, what can I do?
You got plastic wrap. Do you have them in front of you, chef?
The hardest part is just packing because you have to get everything ready. And Chris comes over. Let me help you. Let me help you.
Don't yell at me. I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to help you, Art. In 1 minute. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
El Toro. Speeding about 90 miles an hour.
Stop and tie it on the corner, please, before you go around.
I'm trying to be very zen-like.
Spin, please. Okay, good. Stop.
Yes, Chris. Yes, Chris. Aye, sir.
That's one down.
Out of the way.
Holly, let me introduce you to our critics. We've got James Osland, the editor-in-chief of Savour Magazine.
Great to meet you. A great fan.
A very, very few times fried thing.
Great fan.
But brunch, when people are drinking and partying and this crowd, I think that this is the way to go. I'm really counting the minutes that I'm having these buñuelos in the fryer and the temperature. And if something goes really wrong drastically with this batter,
I don't understand
words you're
saying.
If it is raw inside, oh my God, that will send me home. For sure.
I want a yellow bikini like that.
We want more to take his shirt off. But yeah.
Oh, there's this part where poolside, James Olsen's like, I'll help him take his shirt off. And he takes this dude's shirt off, and he's like, oh! And I was like,
I thought he was going to molest that man.
He was. There's even a part where these guys sit down, and they're talking about how good the food was. And he goes, so how are you guys going to eat all this food and manage this? And he, like, puts his hand on the guy's abs. And I was like, dude, James Olsen is feeling that guy up.
Yeah, he's very, like, invading personal space.
He's like quite a smorgasbord we got going here.
I guess maybe that sort of person who's that vain wouldn't mind, but I don't want his hands all over me.
He's even like, could I see some push-ups later? No, the other guy goes, do some push-ups for James. He goes, only if he does them with me. And he goes, I'll do three.
I'll do three.
How about I lay down and you do the push-ups on top of me?
While I'm on my stomach, my pants come off.
All right, let's check this out and keep listening for the great James Osland critiques.
It's so pretty.
There is no such thing in this competition of playing a safe. Believe me. I put all the sexy I have in those buñuelos, just wishing and hoping that they like it, because I'm diving.
Here we go. This is Lorena's dish. Lorena's. With a fresh berry compote, white chocolate, and a vanilla and white sauce.
Ooh.
Isn't that good?
Ooh.
I love that faint bit of warmth in the center of it. Like, you know, it's so custardy and nice in the middle and yet just also barely crisp on the outside. It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
And I love that there's a fork. You can cut it in half easily. You don't have to worry about being messy or shoving the whole thing in your face.
You know, the turkey burger is usually one of the great tragedies of American cooking. I really think you tried to redeem the turkey burger and it really brought it back into good graces.
You know, when you're trying to be sexy, you want something a little bit light, but yet you want the comfort, and that's what the biscuit does.
It was delicious and creamy, and I could have just kept eating it.
Lorena, your buñuelos, they had this crispity, crunchy outside and this light as a feather dough on the inside. They were just cooked absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Lorena, I have a bite of your buñuelo, and suddenly I feel sexy.
Bite of her what?
You know, it makes me feel like I'm loved. It was really lovely. Thank you.
It's completely full of love.
The chef who made the winning canapé will receive $10,000 for their charity of choice, furnished by Lexus. And that chef is... Lorena.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God.
Lorena Garcia won.
And you can eat my buñuelos at
Taco Bell. I can't believe it. This is so awesome. I'm finally feeling the recognition that I've always dreamed of. And I'm so happy to help my charity to combat obesity.
Wow, I'm speechless and honored. And what a feeling when you're in the bottom and then you come right on top. I mean, thank you. Thank you so very much.
Tops, bottoms. Who is she, James Oslin?
Oh, yeah, James Oslin.
It's so, so creamy, I just want to keep eating it.
I love it. He's like, it's so custardy. It's so warm in the middle.
I love that faint bit of warmth in the center of it.
God, he's a perv, I'm telling you.
He really is. He even makes his food pervy.
It was delicious and creamy.
I love this one quote by Takashi, though.
This is unbelievable.
Fried rice.
But you know
what? Nice,
I'm an old... I love that America's Top Restaurant Fast Food Place show with Curtis Stone and Lorena Garcia. I'm totally rooting for Lorena. Lorena Garcia.
Lorena Garcia Cocina.
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
Yes, it is. I love the show, though. It's fun. But
it is
like,
fun.
There's this part where they show Art in his tiny short swimming. Why did they show us that?
In his speedos, yeah.
He's like, I lost a lot of weight.
He just wants to show off, man. He's all about showing off. I like that all the other chefs were like, "What? What is he doing? Wait, what? He's swimming?"
I know. They're like, what? What
we'll just stand here in the waiting pool.
But it's a fun show, and I've liked every episode of it so far. It's pretty
cool. Sad that I haven't watched it from the beginning. I wanted to see who all the contestants were.
Yeah. You know what's funny is the guy who got eliminated is a guy who couldn't use his prized garlic and onion. He was like, what am I going to do now? And then he gets kicked off because it's...
Didn't Art ended up using it anyways?
He goes, I'll just use a little bit of it. She won't even notice. But you know what? I'm a huge fan of Dolly Madison. I love her snack cakes.
So do I.
You guys like Dolly Madison too?
So custardy and nice.
Yeah.
Especially her fruit pie.
That other guy, when he tasted Lorena Garcia's food, he goes,
ooh. Yeah, then he like punched the air.
He was like, damn, that's good.
Can't believe how amazing this is. Let me punch the air.
So delicious. Oh, I love it. It reminded me of Gordon Ramsay when he tasted his own chicken parm. So what do you guys say we talk about alphas? Because I love alphas.
Alphas was great this week.
And I know I play Gary every week, but he's gold on this show, isn't he? Because at the beginning of it, he goes to a memorial for Anna, and then later on, Anna is in the episode because of this weird kind of waves.
I didn't quite understand that, but it's I like went with it.
It's the sound wave that affects alphas more than other people. And I guess there's an alpha who's in a coma, right?
Yes.
And he's going to be... they're actually going to turn him off. He's going to die.
Yes.
So he's putting out this frequency where he's calling for help. So everyone
Or are they trying to wake him up or something?
They're trying to put him. They're trying to just let him die because he's been in a coma for so long. But he's calling for help, so it's sending out like this frequency, and all the alphas that are in the hospital are attuned to it, where they want to help someone. Like the one guy is trying to help his dead sister, and Gary sees Anna. But I love this beginning part where he's supposed to go to the memorial and have a catharsis.
Yes.
This is great. Let's check it out.
I don't like the tie. It's like a noose. Nooses kill people.
It's a tombstone unveiling, Gary. Men wear ties. And my goodness, you look great.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that this is going to make me feel any better, though. Dr. Rosen says that I need catharsis, but I don't think you can get catharsis from words on a rock.
No, it's not a rock. It's a memorial.
It's not even her words. You know, if there are going to be words, they should at least be Anna's words.
In life, Anna never spoke, but she can speak to us now, beckoning us to honor her memory by living our own lives in peaceful acceptance of one another. Anna is still with us.
She's not with us, though. She's dead.
No, Gary, he means in spirit. She's still with us in spirit.
Anna lives on in our hearts.
No, she doesn't live on, though. That's the problem. No, well, why does he get to talk? And he's lying.
We should go. Come on.
Because Anna wasn't peaceful. She was a rebel. Now she's a dead rebel.
Oh, please, excuse us. I'm sorry. This probably wasn't the best idea.
No, it was a horrible idea. I didn't get any catharsis.
We should... Oh.
Your phone's ringing.
I'm so sorry.
It's embarrassing for you. Where do I put my phone?
This was a beautiful service.
It's embarrassing.
Thank you.
For you. I love that.
You gotta know if some of that stuff is ad-libbed, because it's so perfect.
He's so good in it. And I love his power, too. That's one thing that I like about the show.
He has
I love
the one power I would want.
Yeah, I love how each person has their own ability and how they work as a team. That's what I love best about the show. They all work as a team. And Nina does have a great power, too. You know, yeah.
She does. She's just a freaking lunatic.
Yeah, poor thing. I hope she gets some help. But there's the young girl who she tries to help see her mother. Because it is kind of tragic that she remembers nothing, right?
Well, she's just trying to remember her past, period.
Yeah, she's trying to remember her past, and she pulls something out where it's her mom. So I like that she actually watches art lessons and then tries to draw her mom. Mm-hmm. You doing okay over there, Steven? Is she biting you?
No, she's pulling on my belt.
What is
Take
it?
Take those pants
I'm
off!
I'm telling you, dog nip. Dog nip. She just bit the hell out of you. She's trying to grab your belt. I tried to take video, Bill, but the lights are too low in here. It just doesn't show up. I need to turn the overhead light on. But this Alphas was really weird with the weird kind of haunting, but it turns... I like the explanation at the end that it was a dude in a coma, but what was with Hicks' weird vision where he's getting cut open with a scalpel?
Yeah, it was... And then whenever he comes to, he was cutting himself.
Yeah, that was trippy. But I do like that he just shows up to his ex's house and he's like, I need to see my son. I need to see him now. But I love the show. It's great.
Bitch, it's awesome. Is my house.
And I care about the, I really care about the characters. Are you okay,
Yeah,
Steven?
So do I.
She didn't draw blood. Baby, knock it off.
Calm down.
Settle down. Take a chill pill. I need to have like a dart gun, like, just like, sleep.
That would be awesome.
Wait, she's still not... Holy shit, this would have taken down a rhino. She's still going. All right. Bill, did you dig Alphas?
I did. I really did. It was an interesting episode.
Yeah, it was. Definitely.
I didn't quite understand everything that was going on, but it was a good episode.
Yeah, I just care about the characters, and that's what's great about the show.
Yeah.
It is. So, Bill, you want to do some news?
Sure.
Let's do some news! Whee!
Thank you.
stunning shade of mud.
Oh. All right, Bill, would you like to do... What, I mean...
Would I?
This dog is so distracted. Sort of. Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
It's singularly unexceptional.
Hey, Glenn.
Right, in Hermantown, Minnesota, Duluth Superior man who received international notoriety when he was convicted of having sex with a dead deer for sexual gratification.
Oh, my God.
Why else would you have sex with a deer? I mean, just to have, like, not for sexual gratification?
I like to kill deer.
Yes.
No, that's not what he likes to do, the deer.
Well, you know, other things. He the likes deer to do... might as well be dead.
There is sex with a deer.
Is that deer?
I guess so.
Ryan James Hathaway, 25, was arraigned Wednesday in St. Louis County District Court in Duluth, charged with four crimes, assaulting a police officer during an incident at the Hermantown Walmart on Monday night. Hathaway is charged with fourth-degree assault of Officer Cody Vetter.
Sex and shagging.
Brother of Eddie Vetter. No. obstructing legal process, fleeing on foot, and receiving stolen property. I like that running away is fleeing on foot.
Run away!
He's being held on $20,000 bail.
If I were you, I'd run like hell.
Officer Vetter was off duty and shopping with her. Oh, it's a woman.
Ah.
11-year-old daughter at Walmart about 6:15 when she'd be working earlier and was wearing a black T-shirt with the word "police" printed in large white letters on the front and back of the shirt. Gee, I wonder if she's police. Vetter was walking to her vehicle when she spotted a man who turned out to be Hathaway in the back seat of a vehicle parked next to her. She thought he was acting suspiciously by rummaging around, looking through bags, repeatedly ducking down and appearing nervous and watching for people approaching. She got out of her vehicle, knocked on the car window, pointed to the lettering on her shirt. She told the suspect that she was a Hermantown police officer and to not move. She called 911, asked for police response. Hathaway attempted to run. Vetter grabbed the back of his shirt. She placed her right arm on the back of his neck and tried to take him to the ground. He grabbed her arm, pushed her to the pavement, causing scratches and bruises to her lower back and tailbone. Hey, well, you know, the really guy wasn't doing anything bad. He was just, you know, checking out other cars to see if they had good stuff.
Nice model
he
car.
He needed to find something for his deer friend. His dear friend.
It's mind-blowing.
Oh, and here it is. He received a probationary sentence and was ordered to undergo psychological treatment after he was convicted of having sex with a dead deer.
Oh, dear. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
That he found while biking along Stinson Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin.
Hey, you know what I'd like to do to that thing?
Hey, that dead deer, it's just there waiting for me.
It looks like it wants it.
Oh, dear.
It was fate. We were meant to be together.
Well, she's not running away. She must really be into it.
Oh, no.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
DeKalb County, Georgia. A popular DeKalb County high school football coach was suspended after a parent accused him of sexting her. Oh, boy, man.
Mike
Carlson,
man.
Head coach... The Martin Luther King Jr. High School is now off the field. My understanding is that there were some nude photographs involved, county school spokesman said.
Absolutely.
School leader said DeVita Bishop, the mother of two Carson's players, showed other people in the stadium nude photographs of the coach. Dickerson said the coach sent her the unwanted photos via text message. Oh, so this guy's like, you know what? This woman's so sexy she won't be able to resist my sexiness.
Never cook bacon naked.
Yeah, I'd take these pictures of me making bacon naked.
You want to put it in a dumpster now?
Huh?
I have no idea what that means.
It would be much more fun if we could just have some laughs about this whole mess.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he thought afterwards.
It'd be a lot more fun if we could just laugh about this, and I'll go on my merry way.
Students, staff, even coach's wife have seen the pictures. Oh, no. When Channel 2 went to Carson Clayton Valley home to get inside, no one answered, but a woman at the home said, "You can go away," several times.
Oh, no.
Debbie's frustration is understandable.
Yeah, that is understandable.
Debbie was very frustrated.
He really just had to take nude pictures of himself. He just couldn't resist.
Ooh!
James Olsen would be excited about those pictures.
I wonder what he thinks about those pictures.
It was delicious and creamy.
I don't know what that means.
Concert goer Riley Alexander Wilson, 20, was arrested at the Havelock County Jamboree Music Festival in Ontario, Canada, after he blew up a porta potty at the venue early on the morning of August 19th.
He blew it up?
He blew it up. Story, there's a picture of an exploding toilet, and it says in caption, "Not the same one."
Oh!
Thanks for clarifying.
Oh, that's a dirty bomb where I'm from.
According to the police, around 2 a.m., a drunk man poured gasoline into the holding tank of a portable toilet before holding an open flame to the vent stack. The fire ignited the fumes like a fuse, detonating the potty and setting the contents on fire. Flame and poop again!
Oh, that sounds awesome, bro.
The stunt caused $1,500 in damages to the unit. Holy shit, a porta potty is $1,500?
Bomb dropping on Viva Claverville.
A shit bomb. No word yet on whether the suspect's hair was singed in the initial flare up. What does that have?
Well, was there like a. When something like that blows up, does shit go everywhere?
Would have to assume so, yes.
God, shit. Wow. I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, get the hell out of there.
I bet you it smells even worse because it's flaming.
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
Yeah.
It is his masterpiece. A masterpiece of flaming poo anarchy. Wilson was quickly arrested, charged with mischief, and held until he sobered up, scheduled to appear in court in October.
Oh, well, he's got a while to come up with certain reasons.
Yeah. I love this little tack on to the end of the story. In July, an Australian man detonated a firecracker between his buttocks in a prank meant to impress his friends. It ended badly.
I didn't get any catharsis.
I think we covered that story. The man blew his ass off.
Yeah, that's not smart to do. You don't want to do that.
Police believe alcohol may have been a factor.
It's mind-blowing.
As well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would hope he'd be drunk to attempt something like that.
You know, in Clearwater, Florida, you have the headquarters of Scientology.
Ooh.
But you also have... apparently, monkeys on the loose.
Oh, shit.
Yes, the monkey appeared behind a Bennigan's. The Bennigan's
is
one of standing fast casual joints in Clearwater, Florida, just outside of Tampa. Also included a Panda Express and its bootleg.
Panda Express.
At one end, a Perkins Family Restaurant flies a preposterously large Stars and Stripes flag in it. Flag in its front yard. As if it were a federal building or an aircraft carrier.
But what was it, really?
Someone spotted the monkey poking through a dumpster around lunchtime when a freelance animal trapper named Vernon Yates arrived. Freelance animal trapper? What? What are you whispering?
Just trying to let baby keep chewing on this instead of bothering us.
Oh, it's because she gets splinters everywhere all over the floor. She's just going to bring it back in.
All Vernon Yates could make out was an oblong ball of light brown fur asleep in the crown of an oak. It was a male rhesus macaw.
Of Xenu.
Yes, it was also a Xenu monkey.
Xenu monkey! Holy
tall
shit!
Species native to Asia.
An electropsychometer.
So apparently this monkey's been on the loose for a while and just pissing on people.
Oh my goodness.
This story is way, way too long to cover, but it has been a thorn in Clearwater's side running around just pissing on people.
Call them flying monkeys?
Okay.
Oh, and if you're a, just the last story here, if you're of the Christian Pentecostal faith, which basically means like super, super fundamentalist, they wear like, I remember there was a, when I went to the Christian high school, there was a team we would play that was a Pentecostal Christian school, and their basketball outfits were like full-length pants, and their cheerleaders wore skirts that went down to their knees, or not their, I'm sorry, not their knees, their ankles. I mean, full-length skirts.
Yeah. I knew a guy
so
who
bizarre.
He was he turned Pentecostal, Randy. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was actually the manager of the store I worked at. He started going out with this chick who was. He got into it, and man, it got weird. And unfortunately, he got cancer, Bill. And after the store I worked at went out of business, like months later, he invited everyone. Like, I can't remember how I found out. Maybe I got a letter or something. But he invited us to the church, and I was like, I don't know about this, man, but I'm going to go because I know that he's very sick. So I went. And boy, was it weird. And they really wanted me to fill out that, put your name and address here, and we can send you some information. No, I'm good. That's cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'll pass.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, would you like to buy a movie?
Mulberry Drive.
So this girl, Ashanti McShane, 17 years old, gets a job at Burger King in Dallas.
Oh.
The manager fired her because she would only wear like those full length skirts instead of the slacks. And she says it's because in Deuteronomy 22:5 it says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do are an abomination unto the Lord thy God.
What the no.
Yeah,
I always remember Deuteronomy because Vanessa and I would laugh at Deuteronomy when we were kids. We were really simple.
You know, just reading that, it just shows how liberal our the Christian school was that I went to, because I actually dressed in drag. We did this thing called Spirit Week, and it was each day there was a different theme, and one of the days was books. So the entire junior class had to dress as something, and we chose Encyclopedia Brown, and I dressed as Encyclopedia Brown's mother.
Wow.
So how I got to run around and drag all day, and
like
I pissed off one of the substitutes because I asked one of my friends if my boobs were straight because I was using volleyball pads, and it incensed this substitute teacher we had. She sent me to the office, and then it took like 3 hours to get it figured out because I went from the office and then the principal wasn't there. So then I went to another teacher's room. I couldn't go into the class because she didn't want to see me in it. It was ridiculous.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe she was a big fan of Deuteronomy 22:5.
Deuteronomy.
This is a big deal. This girl could probably get a shitload of money from Burger King because it violates the Equal Employment Opportunity Act. Like this is a big no-no.
Well, yeah, the Pentecostals, they dress like Little House on the Prairie, basically.
Yeah. So, you know, it shouldn't have been a problem. And
so they fire her?
This guy screwed up majorly.
Wow.
This is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
This is
so
awesome.
Oh, okay. So he's sad about cows, bereaving bulls. That's what it is. What is she doing?
Nothing.
I hear something.
She went outside.
Oh, okay.
What the these people doing?
All right. And that's. Oh. I think that's pretty much the news for this week. Not a whole lot went on.
Well, I think we learned a lesson here. Don't hire Pentecostals to work at Burger King.
No, they don't like Deuteronomies.
No, they don't. They should build. You know what? They should hire Pentecostals to blow up porta potties.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't get any catharsis.
Oh, okay. Well, Bill, what do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Stuff your sorries in a sack, man.
Oh, stuff my sorries in a sack. Okay, Bill. Steven. Bill. Bill, yes. Steven. Let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs.
HD Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs.
Woo! Some DVDs, everybody! Don't f*** with me or I'll shove a lightning bolt up your ass.
Whoa! Hey, Bill, what's going on there?
I don't know, but apparently he controls lightning.
I don't have junk. That's right. I got something here.
That's right.
I think he's on drugs. Because there's, like, no excitement in that. It's just monotone.
I want a nice custardy DVDs, Bill.
Okay.
So custardy and nice.
Yeah, I'll make it nice and warm, an explosion in your mouth.
It was delicious and creamy.
Starting out with Abbott and Costello meet the Frankenstein monster.
Who's in that?
I think Abbott and Costello and Frankenstein.
Who's on second?
Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Anybody else?
No, that's all I got.
Now, I love these movies, so I'll definitely
hey,
pick this up.
Bad!
Now, explain this one to me. Riddle me this. Why is Airport on Blu-ray?
Oh my god, bloody hell.
I don't know. Remember when there were all these airport movies where planes always were going down?
Yep.
Good stuff. I wonder what James Oseland thought of Airport.
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
Oh, well, he's into film critiquing now.
He's a very big fan of the airport films.
Oh, yeah.
He might be the only one.
He likes how they refuel in mid-air.
Mid-air.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
All right, next Blu-ray is Battleship.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Battleship. Bill, you saw Battleship, and can you believe it's already coming out?
I can.
I swear you saw it 1 month ago exactly.
Probably. It was pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still can't get over that scene at the end, or near the end, where the old crew of Battleship people walk across the deck of the ship in slow-mo. It was just so painful.
It's
the laughing that was in the theater was... It was cringe-inducing.
I want to see the movie just for that scene.
Yeah, it was so bad.
I can't wait to watch you get done wrong, dude.
Hey... What?
You watch it as you're... You know what? I cannot wait for this to come out because Riff Tracks will do a great, great track to it.
He's a bitch.
I mean, the movie, it's just built-in terribleness, so...
Now, you know what we were talking about earlier, how Riff Tracks has writers now where they don't always do everything?
Yeah, it's true.
Do they still write some stuff, I hope?
God, you know what? It's lacking. The riffs are... It's like I said, I can tell it's not... Mike Nelson, Bill Corbett, and Kevin Murphy writing the riffs anymore. You can tell. It just doesn't sound like them. Like whenever they were doing the Mystery Science Theater films.
Uh-huh.
It's like they're trying to appeal to a younger, wider audience. So they're just kind of more pop culture-y.
Yeah,
and
they don't
just,
need to
I don't know.
That.
It's they try too hard, it seems.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
But okay. Also, did you notice during, like, it's like we talked about the Manos thing, like, all the Seinfeld references in it. Like, who thought it would be a great idea to put, like, 3 or 4 Seinfeld jokes in a Manos riff?
Yeah.
It just felt strange. It wasn't the best, but I enjoyed myself.
I left it the guy making out with the chick was the governor of Texas, future governor of Texas.
Yeah, that stuff was funny. But, yeah, for some reason, they don't. They've hired more and more writers. Like, if you look at their website, they've got, like, 4 writers now.
Okay, so, how do we get a job writing for them? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, because these guys aren't that great, honestly.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I mean, I did laugh. Okay, I laughed, but it's like you said, you can tell it's not coming from them, though. You know?
Yeah, because they're much more acerbic.
Yeah.
Like, and it just, it doesn't sound like them. You know, like, after you watch so many Mystery Science Theater 3000, and Mike Nelson was almost, I think, the head writer the entire time.
Yeah, you're not going to hear John Sununu jokes anymore.
Yeah. It's strange. It's very strange. They have one, two, three, four, five, six writers.
Wow.
That's not right.
Yes, there you go. All right, moving on. We have Boardwalk Empire Season 1 and 2 on Blu-ray. I bailed after the first season.
I loved Season 1. Didn't watch any of Season 2. But like I said one time on the show, I looked over my shoulder and the finale was on. And I saw something shocking. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of ruined now. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I've seen two things that happened during the second season. And I don't need to know anything else.
What did James Olsen think of season 2, though?
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
Wow, okay. Well, maybe I should check it out. No, I think I'll skip it, Bill.
It was the incest that really turned him on in season 2.
Dude, the character has a hot mom, though.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, that's not right, but pretty hot.
What's her... Gretchen Mol is her name? She was in that 13th Floor movie. Oh,
even Art Smith likes her.
Talk about beauty. I mean, I'm a gay man. She's hot and gorgeous.
Yeah, see?
She's like a classic beauty, kind of like an old Hollywood beauty.
This is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
God, I love that thick accent. All right, moving on. We have Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on Blu-ray.
Whoa. How much does that cost?
$650.
Oh, my God. That's expensive.
Too much.
Pricey.
Wow.
Did I have, like, a TV in him or something?
No.
Next, we have Harvey.
Hey, wait. I liked Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Did I say it right?
Sure. That's unbreedable.
What?
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it, but it was a decent movie.
It's a creative visually. It's a creative visual tour de force, Bill.
Okay. I'll believe you.
It was delicious and creamy.
Yeah, that too.
It always has to be creamy.
I love that faint bit of warmth in the center of it.
No, I don't remember that in the movie. What
Why does it always sound so dirty?
I know. Nope.
Yeah, and the next Blu-ray was Harvey, and I've never seen it, and I don't really...
Oh, Harvey.
I've never
seen
it.
James Stewart. I can't do James Stewart.
I think everyone can try to do James Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, man. Come on. The movie's really... I remember watching as a kid.
I had a dog named
Waiting
Bo.
For the friggin' bunny to show up, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, my good God.
I know. I'm
waiting
for
my exposure to Jimmy Stewart when I was a kid was him on The Tonight Show reading poems about his dog.
Jimmy Stewart. Okay, stop it, Jason.
Yeah, I gave up after my first try.
Yeah.
Just not going to happen.
Whoop-dee.
I will say Harvey is a great movie. Maybe you should watch it as an adult. It's good.
Okay, I will.
I don't know if the comedy holds up, though.
No, we'll see.
But I heard Debbie try to watch it.
Debbie's frustration is understandable.
Oh, she couldn't get through it, Bill.
Yeah, she didn't like it. That's understandable.
Very understandable.
It's mind-blowing.
And mind-blowing.
In a way. Next Blu-ray is Homeland Season 1.
Okay, I got to tell you this about Homeland. I love Homeland. It's great, disturbing show, very well done. Still haven't watched the season finale.
No shit.
I've watched every episode except the finale, and I keep
telling
Heather.
Can you just not bring yourself to watch it?
There's something about it, yeah. But I'm ready to watch it, but I'm waiting for Heather to be ready to watch it. We love the show, though, but it's just like, it's not easy, man.
It isn't easy for Jack.
Just take solace in the fact that if what you're afraid is going to happen...
That there's a season two, so it didn't happen.
Exactly.
No, I told Heather that. Well, there's a season two. Apparently what we think is going to happen doesn't.
Yeah, so there you go.
He's a bitch.
Hey, what?
The whole episode is like, how is he going to get out of this?
Yeah. Oh, I want to watch it.
And we've got yo-yos right now.
But Damian, you know what? The show is very well done. Very well done.
And it's got Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah!
It's Patinkin awesome.
Dude, I love Mandy Patinkin. What was his name in Alien Nation? Sam Francisco?
Battleship Patinkin?
Oh, man, I love... Yeah.
He was great in that joke.
In what? Okay. Tension breaker.
Dead Like Me, the first season, really.
He's an excellent actor. He is. And he does the subtle so well. He plays subtle.
Yeah.
Geniusly. And he's a singer. Did you know he has his own albums?
Some of my favorite actors.
Yes.
Yeah, he has his own albums. I remember one time he was on David Letterman, he sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
I know he has some, like, degenerative eye disease where he has to get new corneas every couple years.
Holy shit. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
That's effed up.
Oh, my God. Bloody hell.
I know.
So, keratoconosis, something, degenerative eye disease.
That sucks.
Two corneal transplants. The right cornea and the left cornea. He was also diagnosed and treated for prostate cancer.
Gee, that dude, he's a tough son of a bitch.
Yes, he is.
By the way, there's a secret code hidden in this week's episode, and it's this. So everyone listen.
The bloody front door is not locked at night.
Okay, you guys remember that.
So whenever you meet somebody on the street and you say that, you know that... They're a Nim fan.
Remember, it's
the bloody front door is not locked at night.
Okay, you guys remember that. Don't tell anyone now.
It's frightening, though.
It sounds kind of scary, doesn't it?
I'm not worried.
Oh,
okay. They're releasing the Lord of the Rings films, the extended editions, separately this week.
Oh,
entire set. If you're not a fan of the Fellowship of the Ring, or if you know, you don't like Two Towers, or you like Return of the King better, why not just buy them separately instead
of... Lord of the Ring.
Where is the Lord? Him. Don't wear pants if you're a woman.
I'm a fan of Lord of the Rings. I enjoy it. I've never seen the extended cuts of those.
Are you freaking serious?
Yeah, I'm totally serious. I've heard they're...
smack you right now.
I know. I've heard they're pretty awesome.
They make the movies. They are so freaking good. Just the other night, I was watching Fellowship of the Ring, the extended cut. But, I mean, like, it's just so good. I love the extended cuts.
You know, I know that Sean Bean, or Sean Bean, as I call him, doesn't last long, but he has a great death, doesn't he?
He does.
If I was an actor, if I was in a movie, I'd want to have a death like that. I mean, he's really well done. He's awesome. When he's, like, getting shot with all those arrows, and he's like, with the horn and everything, it's awesome.
I think you'll love him in Game of Thrones.
Oh, I want to check it out. But
haven't watched that show. It's so freaking good.
Jack told me not to watch it.
It isn't easy for Jack.
Jack's an asshole. Because
Bill,
it's way easier for you. I can't even tell you how many drops we would have of Peter Dinklage and his one-liners from that show.
Oh, man, I want to watch it. I do.
It's so good.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
It is Peter Dinklage's show. It is
He's a pimp.
Show.
I love Peter Dinklage. So we're going to check it out. I promise you I'm going to check it out. You know what? Even like Heather's... friend Rodney, who listens to Flying Squirrel, he loaned me season one on Blu-ray, and I never watched it and had to give it back to him.
What the hell's wrong with you? You should have watched it. It's awesome.
I'm so bad. I want to watch Breaking Bad also.
That's another great show, but I would watch Game of Thrones first, because Breaking Bad is kind of a slow burn
show. It's
going
to take me a while to catch up on Breaking Bad. There's more episodes.
Yeah, four
I could probably
seasons.
Get through season one and two of Game of Thrones really fast.
Yeah, you would.
But, Steven, not you.
Not being used to my ability.
It's because you're not being used to your ability.
All right, next Blu-ray, we have The Lucky One with that kid, Zac Efron. And my favorite, Taylor Schilling. I remember watching the She is so hot, I would actually watch this.
She's the star of the TV show Mercy, where she was a nurse that we used to watch.
Yeah.
That Great I liked.
She was a rebel.
Horrible finale that was like the ultimate cliffhanger ever.
Yeah, I dig her. She was in the.
Really dig her.
I never watched it because I heard bad things about it. But she was in the. Was it
the Atlas Shrugged movie?
Yeah, she was in Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, she played Dagny Taggart, which was totally against casting. But I would have watched it just for her. But it's so bad.
Yeah, I've heard it's not good. I heard that it's just like I don't know.
I've read all of Ayn Rand's books, and I agree with some of her stuff, and some of her stuff she's completely out in left field, and I think it's hilarious that she's been adopted by the right wing as like this voice of reason, yet she's the one that basically says God is – she's very Nietzsche-esque, like God is dead, doesn't exist, there's no such thing.
I didn't get any catharsis.
So you have all these right-wing people like, yeah, Ayn Rand, oh wait.
They didn't quite read the book.
No, they just... Yeah, that's exactly it. They have no freaking idea.
Had to be done.
Idiots. All right, moving on. Once Upon a Time, the complete first season on Blu-ray. Thanks, no thanks.
I never saw that. You know, I recorded the first episode, never got around to it. There's just too many damn shows, Bill.
I've watched like 4 episodes of it. And it sucks butt.
Well, it sucks butt, huh?
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.
Oh, stop. That's too easy.
Boy. All right, so now delicious. We have Pirates, Band of Misfits 3D on Blu-ray.
Oh, I wanted to see that. That's the Nick Park, the Wallace and Gromit dude, right?
Yes, it is.
I want to see it. I like Pirates.
Holy shit, this movie's 177 minutes?
What?
No way. That's got to be a typo.
What? I've actually heard some people say, it's okay.
Yeah, it didn't look amazing for me.
But I like that stop motion animation, so I'll check it out.
But isn't it digital? It's not really stop motion. It just looks like stop motion.
No, I think it's... I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'll have to check that out.
I know that wasn't that flushed away like fake stop motion. It looked
But I think Band of Misfits is stop motion.
Okay,
you have to actually physically touch it to move it or something.
Yeah. Don't ever touch his stuff. No.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna speed through these next ones. Quadrophenia, the Who movie, Criterion Edition.
Debbie's frustration is understandable.
Now, they'll ruin it if it's in 5.1.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's supposed to be in 4.0, right?
4-channel, yeah. We have Scarface on Blu-ray.
Ah, Scarface! I know that movie. Love it. Seen it a million times. Yep. Yeah, I remember I was thinking about like movies that you haven't seen yet, but kids at school have, and you're all too young to have seen it. Man, yep. There's this chainsaw scene, man. It's effed up. You got to see it. And you're like, oh, I got to see that chainsaw scene. And then you're watching it, and you're like, oh, the chainsaw scene's coming up. But it's not the version. It's the version where it's cut down, you know, where it's not as graphic. And you're like, what's the big deal with the chainsaw scene? I don't know. But
I remember my dad showed it to me when I was like, 7 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an effed up movie, isn't it?
My dad showed me movies that I should have never seen as young as I was. And it's just one after another.
My dad just didn't know any better. It's just like...
Well, it's like my dad wanted like a friend to watch movies with. So it was his 7-year-old son watching Scarface.
You know what's funny about Scarface is just how bad a dresser he was, you know, in the movie. Yeah. He's really bad.
But it's also one of those movies that is, again, a product of its time, the early 80s. It's
very, very quotable. You know, everyone goes, say hello to my little friend is in how many movies?
Every movie.
Every movie does it. Say hello to my little friend. And it's just like,
it's
stop. You got to stop doing it. Just don't do it.
Here come the pain!
Now, this one I'm picking up. 16 Candles on Blu-ray.
16 Candles. I love 16 Candles. I love Long Duck Dong.
Hot stuff.
All right. And I love the soundtrack to it, man. 16 yeah. Candles. Wasn't it for a while they would show it on TV and the music would be different? You'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
Yep.
Oh, man, it's so effed up. But 16 Candles is it's one of those movies you can just watch over and over and over
and
again.
I have.
Oh, shit. Stevie knocked something over.
Get into something?
Yeah, baby knocked some stuff over.
And finally, The Walking Dead, the complete second season on Blu-ray. But what's really awesome is the limited edition zombie head with the screwdriver in its eye.
I've seen a picture of it.
Oh. You lift, it's like you tip the head back like a Pez dispenser to get the Blu-rays out.
It honestly looks ridiculous, but there's something cool about how just ridiculous it is that they...
Yeah, I am tempted to own it, but I can't.
There's one that sells a zombie mask that goes in it.
You know what? We talked about Walking Dead on the show, and I was really pleased with the second half of the season, and I'm eagerly anticipating season 3.
Yes, thank God Sophia was dead. I was just so tired of the whole Sophia thing.
I watched the trailer to season 3. Have you guys watched it?
Yeah, The Rook.
Yeah. And it's got the governor. It's interesting. I'm willing to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the governor thing is done better than it was in the comic book.
Me too.
Because holy shit, was that horrible.
Me too. And you know what? Another thing is, so like season 2 on Blu-ray, it would be great to blow through those episodes like in one day or 2 days. I bet you they hold up way better than having to wait. It's kind of like certain Lost seasons where you watch it, then you got to wait 2 weeks or whatever, and it drives you crazy. So it might go easier.
Yeah, I think, especially the first half of the season where they're Sophia! Sophia!
And that had a great payoff, too. I thought it did.
I was shocked that they went there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with that moment, that was fantastic.
It was, I'm excited about the show returning.
And that's it. That's the Blu-rays.
That's it? That's all of them?
That's all of them.
So it's not a sex thing?
No, sadly.
What is Gordon?
But I could look up adult Blu-rays if you wanted to.
Now, Bill, if I were to purchase all of those movies, just go to Best Buy and buy all of them, how much would it be?
$650.
Whoa. That's nice.
It's right on. It's amazing.
Wow. It's pretty cool.
You'd be paying retail, though, and that's just way too much.
What the f*** are these people doing?
I don't know. But, all right, it's good stuff. DVDs, everybody. Woohoo! Thanks, Bill.
No problem.
I didn't get any catharsis.
Thank you. Good night.
None of us did, Gary.
Okay. Bill, did you know what that was a theme to?
I can't place it, but I know it. I know it.
It's the Lee Van Cleef Show, The Master.
The Master, yes! I've watched that. I've actually watched the plain episodes.
I remember watching it was on TV.
Oh my God.
Wow. And I'm like thinking, this is kind of cool. It's a ninja show, but it's kind of lame, too.
Why is he so old?
Yeah, why did they cast a guy so freaking old to play a ninja?
Some old white guy. I know that guy from something.
Yeah. And Lee Van Cleef is awesome. He's a badass, but whoa, miscast on that show.
Yeah, that entire show was miscast.
Oh, you look so beautiful.
Tim Van Patten's rape van.
That is a great MST episode.
Oh my God, it is. It's two episodes, actually.
Yeah, there's this moment where it always cracks me up. It's just really quick, but Lee Van Cleef is in bed and he's been stabbed in the back, or he got a shuriken in the back or something, and he winces. He goes like, oh, like that, and Tom Servo or somebody goes, "Don't!" Like right when he does it, and always screams, "Don't!" when he winces. It's perfect.
They just released those, like the Shout Factory versions, like 1 or 2 months ago.
Oh, it's gold. Gold, yep. Jerry.
So all good.
All right, everyone. That was episode 262 of the Nowhere Mulberry Show. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, you could find a link to our forum or a link to our Facebook fan club. It's awesome where everyone gets together and has a good time. Also, you could call this number, 1206-202-1298. I should enunciate better. 1206.
It's unbreadable.
202-1298. And leave us a voicemail. Also, you can send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com.
This is unbreadable.
Don't leave feedback like Swiley.
Oh, Swiley. I hope nothing has happened to Swiley because
yeah,
he's
I
our
hope everything is cool.
If something happened to Swiley and he can't do feedback anymore, dude, the show is not going to happen
anymore. Before I go to bed, I thank the Lord for Swiley.
I do too. It's our motivation. Oh, Swiley.
Ooh!
Ooh, Swiley!
Maybe he had the McAfee problem with his.
He did! Freaking McAfee! Oh, what seems to be the problem there, Swiley? Can I help you? A Tan Sierra! I love Fargo. That was on recently, too. It's a very watchable movie. Oh,
it
you
is.
Darn tootin'! What the heck you mean? The heck you mean? I love
and
it.
Those scenes with Marge and her husband are so heartfelt.
Oh, hey, Margie. And I love, there's this part where they go to the, to a buffet and they're just loading up on food on their plates, you know? And he's like, oh, hey, Margie, how's that fricassee? Oh, pretty good. Pretty darn good.
I think they sat there, the Coen brothers sat there and went, what words would be great to say in that Minnesotan accent?
love it.
Those are always
Fargo.
Some of my favorite parts in Mystery Science Theater 3000 whenever they would whip out the Minnesota accents.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's kind of funny looking. Do you remember that? Oh, mm-hmm. You know, kind of funny looking. Love it.
We're fighting yo-yos right now.
Well, everyone, that was the show. Thank you, Steven. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Baby, in the background. And thank you, Marvin.
Marvin. Hey, where's Marvin at? Oh, he's sleeping on the floor.
Just don't let Marvin make any chocolate milk, Bill.
It'd
be very messy.
Marvin, messy Marvin.
Why
Marvin likes
out?
To steal bread. I've discovered that.
Ooh, bread?
Yeah, anytime I leave him alone for more than like an hour, I'll come home and there'll be half a loaf of bread gone or hot dog buns. And you name it, he's a carboholic.
You know what Baby does? She brings in sticks from outside and then chews them into tiny little toothpicks, basically. And there'll be like a huge like spot on the floor with just wood chips everywhere. I'm like, damn it! Baby!
Damn! She's not a beagle, she's a beaver.
Yep, she is. She likes just chewing on shit. I'm waiting for her, it's not going to happen for a while, is it? Teething to end?
No. Probably another month or two.
I tell you, though, she just loves Steven. Steven is like an amusement park.
Steven
is Six Flags to Baby.
That's hilarious.
All right, everyone.
Anybody else?
Nope, that's pretty much it. I just hope that Jack feels better, Bill. Because, you know, it's... I'm not sure I understand his nerves.
Jack's nerves are understandable.
Well, no, not to me. Are they to you, Bill?
Unfathomable.
What about Debbie's frustration?
Debbie's
that
frustration
is, understandable.
Is understandable.
Oh, okay.
That is.
That's understandable.
I'm always frustrated with Debbie.
She always wants to touch his stuff.
I know. I don't understand why. I just keep it in its home.
All right, everyone. That's the show. See you next time. Woohoo!
Whoop-dee. No.
Hey. We'll be right back.
This is unbelievable.
Now this is podcasting.
This is madness.
That's not right.
It isn't easy for Jack.
He's a bitch.
What the f*** are these people doing?
It'd be much more fun if we could just have some laughs about this whole mess.
Nope.
Oh, that's just great.
Because apparently you know everything.
I don't have junk. That's right. I got something here.
It's really kind of like a small masterpiece.